One, two, three! Oh! Here he goes! Oh!
Oh! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Start your engines. It's gonna be a bumpy ride.
Let's do it.
Government gives them the drugs, them bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Oh, I am so glad.
And now,
fighting for peace. It's like raping for virginity.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, that was something.
Spirited.
Powerful.
Haven't heard a lot from that preacher lately, have we?
Not a peep.
Well, he retired.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, he's not preaching anymore.
Did he retire right after that goddamn America, or was that an old...
I think, Lisa, refresh my memory, hadn't he already kind of officially retired when that whole scandal broke?
I think that's right, yeah.
I think that's what it is. And he popped up once or twice since then, but then Barack Obama had him killed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is maybe he's...
Yeah, had him rubbed out.
He's at the bottom of the ocean.
No, he just left the country, you guys.
Yeah.
That's all. He's fine.
Quote, unquote, left the country.
He's exploring in the jungle somewhere.
Exploring death. What he's exploring. That's how it ought to work, man, I'll tell you.
Well, depending on who's making the decision, sure.
When you become president, that is how it works.
Pretty much.
Dude, I'm so going to make the CIA death squad work overtime.
When you're president?
That would just be the most awesome thing. You're flipping around your TV and you're going, I hate that dude. Take him out.
Boom.
Yeah, that would be good.
It would
be a long list.
You've got a lot of time to flip around on TV, too, when you're president.
I guess.
Yeah.
You've got nothing else to do.
Sure.
That's true. Hey, President Bush has always said, and his aides back this up, that he's done with work for the day by 4:35 o'clock. He's out.
And it shows.
I don't know how you could ever do that. That seems like one of those jobs that would just consume every minute you have.
Yeah, there'd be no way to ever get caught up. You could work 24 hours a day and still have lots to do.
That's the way it seems.
So I think
he starts early.
That
explains a lot. So you're saying, Lisa?
Well, yeah. I mean, you do have to just call it a day at some point because you never do catch up. So I guess you can kind of determine, unless there's an emergency, all right, 6 o'clock, we're done.
He is apparently something the president and I have in common is he is a man of routine. And he does things to his schedule the way he wants to do them. And by all accounts, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way. I mean, he has a schedule and he keeps to it. He gets in the office early by 5:30 or 6 o'clock. And he always, you know, if possible, obviously there are times when he's traveling or whatnot where it's not possible. But he always takes that hour and a half in the middle of the day to have lunch and work out.
He's
done it at 4:30 and he gets an hour and a half off in the middle of the day. But we all know if you're the president, doesn't matter who you are, there's never a time that you're out of touch and there's never a time when you're probably not involved in something, making decisions or getting updates or because there are so many balls in the air. But it's a pretty good schedule. I mean, he's managed to figure out a way to make it work, but that hasn't stopped him from aging 30 years while he's been in the White House like every other man that has that job.
Yeah,
doesn't matter how young and vibrant you look when you take office. When you leave, you are an old man.
And he's the guy, remember, who was taking like 8 months off at his ranch.
That's true.
Right. I didn't even understand that.
But isn't it amazing how much you age in those 4 or 8 years that you're in the White House? I mean, look at a picture of any of them before and after, and it's
Clinton,
shocking.
Same thing. Young, vibrant, and then when he leaves,
absolutely,
he's like haggard, just needs some rest.
Yep.
Has there ever been a president that after 4 years looked in the mirror and said, you know what? I don't think I'm doing another four. I look like hell.
I don't think so.
there have been lots of presidents who have decided not to run for another term.
Right, but not because they look like hell,
well,
I'm guessing.
Not because
or
they look bad.
Yeah,
well, just because it's a terrible job.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
It's a terrible job.
Look, I don't have the metal to inside of me to be the guy to want to run for president. I don't have that kind of ambition. I don't have that kind of ability. But I can't imagine, well, with maybe a few exceptions, that for most people it's as rewarding as the toll it takes on you.
I imagine the people who go into it, though, I mean, there's something about them that that would enjoy that, I would imagine.
I think so, too.
Even though it's taken a big toll on you, you're the guy in charge, and you've wanted this your whole life, and blah, blah, blah. I think I'd be a good president, by the way.
I know you do. I know you do.
I'd start around 11, and then I'd take lunch at noon, and then I'd have afternoon drinks at about 3:30.
But you would make all decisions based on comedy, though.
That's correct. Whatever's the funniest.
I mean, when it comes to... as an example, you know, the president's heavily involved in picking a Supreme Court justice. They come to President Ryder, and he goes, Flava Flav. I mean, all of your decisions would be based like that.
That's absolutely correct. Flava Flav would be a good judge, by the way.
He'd be a fantastic Supreme Court justice. I still want him for vice president. I still think if Barack Obama had nuts, he'd pick Flav as his running mate. Be the best.
That would be the best.
Can you imagine the look on the face of white people who are supporting him if he came out with Flava Flav? They'd have to go, really, seriously, what am I going to do with that?
And then he'd come out like he always does. He has to make the crowd chant his name.
Yeah.
That's right.
One time for me, Flava Flav. And everybody's going, what are we doing? This is politics.
Oh, that'd be awesome. The first time Flav, who'd be the president of the Senate, the first time he gets up in the Senate chamber, Flava Flav.
I can't hear you.
Then he'd name New York the ambassador to something.
Miss New York?
Yeah. Be awesome. We got to make that happen.
I could see John McCain in Flava Flav.
Oh, that's even better.
Because McCain's a little older.
He could
use
like
a little young blood.
I do.
Flavor Flav is his vice.
That's a great idea. I mean, that definitely balances out the ticket with a young urban guy. Sure.
How about that?
See, we're thinking. They just don't ask us, man.
I'd like to vote for Flavor Flav for president is what I'd like to do. That's a world I want to live in.
Now you're talking crazy. Before I was with you. Now you're crazy.
What I love about Flav, well, there's so many things to love about Flav. The clock, the teeth, the hair. I mean, there's so much to love about him. Is that I found out years ago that he's a grandfather. And that's just, can you imagine? Picture your grandpa in your mind and then think that somebody out there has a grandfather who is Flava Flav.
Right now. Isn't that crazy?
Yep. And has been for years.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he started young.
He did.
And he hasn't stopped. God bless him.
Remember this chick that was praying on his show?
Please forgive me for any sins in which I committed, those I know of and those I don't know, Lord. Lord, please forgive me for beating this bitch ass today, Lord. Lord, please forgive me for thinking about beating her ass again, Lord. Please rebuke all these demons that's in this house, Lord. I pray
to
you,
Lord. Is that really necessary?
Boy, you better quit interrupting my prayers before God direct me to whoop your ass.
Secretary of State right there.
I love it.
Do you remember when Dave and I ran into Flavor Flav at the Grammy Roundtable, and I said, so, Flav, be honest with me. How many of these girls have you actually banged? He says, I have to get to know a woman before I get to know her in that way, in an intimate manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how'd you end up to be a mid-40s grandfather that's never been married? And he had no answer. He's like, well, yeah, okay, you got me there.
So he said he was trying to tell you that he didn't have sex with any of the girls on the Flavor of Love?
Not only was he trying to say that, but he's trying to say in general that he has to really get to know a woman before
he needs to have a relationship.
Before he will lie with her.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, that's amazing.
Define get to know.
Yeah,
meet.
Really.
Meet.
What's your name? All right. I'm in. Oh, Flava Flav for president. That's awesome. I think we need to spear. It's not too late, right?
I think it is.
Oh.
I think it's too late to get any kind of real momentum going.
But I think he's the kind of guy who would catch on like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Just boom. Right to the top.
All right. I mean, at this point, at one of the conventions, they'd have to basically write him in.
Let's make it happen.
Okay.
Who's most likely? It would have to be the Democrats.
Probably. Yeah.
Because they have most black people, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I like the other side because they need the black people.
No, I do too, but I'm just trying to figure out. I don't know why I'm trying to figure out for real.
I don't know either.
Which party could take them. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Thursday and it is the 24th of Do You Like It in the Ass?
I shoved it up my ass!
Very nice.
All right, then.
Chris Carter will be in the studios today.
Pretty
cool.
Yeah.
The creator of The X-Files. And the new movie starts tomorrow, The X-Files, I Want to Believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I'm not the kind of guy that can keep everything straight all these years later. I have no idea how the story ended. I know the last thing that we saw was The X-Files, the movie, 10 years ago, was it? Is it that long?
Could it have been? Wow.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It can't have been that long ago.
I think so.
I don't remember very much about the whole show. I mean, I'm excited for it, but I'm sure it'll be a standalone, too, for people who haven't seen it or don't remember it.
You don't have to know the whole thing behind it to get to it. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Here's what we forget about the first X-Files movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That movie came out while the series was still on the air.
Oh,
that's right, in between seasons.
Yeah, so that wasn't the last time we saw them.
Oh, I did.
Last time we saw them was the end of the series about 5 or 6 years ago. That's when we wrapped up the X-Files.
Okay. And then what happened? Like, well, what's the last, where are we?
Well, like Bean said, the good news about this movie is that you don't need any prior knowledge.
Oh, really? You saw it last night?
I saw it last night. I went to the premiere last night, the red carpet. Yeah. And
so if you don't know anything about the X-Files world.
I mean, it helps if you know that there were these two agents, Mulder and Scully, who used to work for the FBI.
Right.
That's where the movie pretty much takes off. It's as if they stopped working for the FBI at the end of this series, and now we're picking up with them in their lives some 5 or 6 years later.
That's a great idea.
Oh. So not agents anymore?
Not at the beginning of the film, no.
So I don't need to keep it straight. Nothing doesn't matter.
You really don't. You just, it's sort of, it's about a general sort of sense of the mythology. We know these characters. We know what they're like. We know their relationship together. That's really what it focuses on more than does any of the specifics of the alien, conspiracy or all that shadow government stuff. None of that comes up in this film.
All I remember is they were in the snow in the mountains someplace, and there was a giant spaceship, and then there were pods, like a honey, you know, like Honeycomb, a beehive and all the aliens. I mean, it's so fuzzy. Maybe we should have people call in and catch us up. That always works well.
None of that in this one.
All right.
So,
great.
None of that. You're free and clear. It wouldn't hurt to go back and, you know, brush up on your X-Files knowledge a little bit, but it certainly is not a prerequisite to enjoy the film.
Good news.
Fantastic. Good movie, Ralph?
It's really good.
Really?
It's
really
glad good. To hear that.
It plays like one of the standalone episodes on the series, you know, where they'd have these one-off stories about some serial killer, a psychopath, or phenomenon that they had to sort of investigate.
Great. Right.
It's a standalone story like that, only done on a much larger scale because they have the advantage of the big screen.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear it's good. Also on today's show, we are going to talk to Simon Pegg, who is, of course, a British actor.
No, he's really funny.
Got a series out on DVD now called Spaced. It was a TV show that he did on the BBC. So we're going to talk to him. We're going to talk about your girlfriend or wife did something because Oprah told her to.
Haven't they all?
You poor guys. Oh, I feel so bad for you.
Well, I mean, it's
They're
tough
just
enough
trying to help you.
It's tough enough to get your woman to do what you want her to do. Now she's got somebody on the other side that she believes in and trusts more telling her what to do. And, you know, she's going to choose Oprah every time.
I'm sure it's all good stuff that makes you better people.
I'm sure it is, too. Also, at 6:05, we're going to talk to Glenn Martin.
Yes?
And he is the creator of the Martin Jetpack.
That's what I am talking about.
Bean is going to kill himself with one of those.
Yes, he won't have to worry about Oprah soon, will he?
We're all going to pitch in to help him buy it.
Dude, you just wait. 20 minutes from right now, the future will arrive.
Talking about Christian Bale's circus clown mom.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that. And talking about the bromance between Bean and Dave, the King of Mexico. They seem to be deeply in love.
There's no doubt.
So, yes. Never mind. And we also have tickets for Jack Johnson, Warped Tour, Radiohead, Nine Inch Nails, Beck, and Project Revolution. We will give you those tickets coming up. As a matter of fact, we've got some in just a second here for one of those shows. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
John May from Corona. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are going to see who? Who did we just give away tickets
Racketeers. For? Racketeers.
Racketeers, congratulations. Thanks for listening. Jack Johnson tickets for you next time. We also have Nine Inch Nails, Project Revolution, Beck, and more all for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:51. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Just hear how easily now Racketeers just rolls off of Bean's tongue.
Remember back I took a class.
Days? Remember back in the day when he would handcuff him and he'd spend 20 That's minutes true. Trying to choke that word out? Racketeers.
I went to night school. I took a semester-long class where that's all they do is teach you how to say that word. And now I consider myself fluent.
The guy who started that class, if he started his own empire, his own industry, he started a new business with his own money, what would he be considered?
He'd be a raconteur.
Nicely done.
No.
He'd be an entrepreneur.
Wow.
That's the word he literally couldn't get past.
Ever. You could never
you
say
unlock.
That.
It was raconteur that unlocked it for me. Once I could say that, then the same skill set is involved in entrepreneur.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
Listen to him. It's like watching a guy get out of a wheelchair. Just walk across the room. It's if Benny Hinn slapped him on the forehead and healed him somehow. It's uncanny.
And healed. That's wow. Amazing.
There's your feel-good story of the year right there.
About that. Being making progress.
I know.
Now, don't get me started on Alhambra.
Oh, no. You still can't say vowels.
Yeah. Say A-E-I-O-U-O-Y-O-Y-O-Y-O-Y. Can't be Baxter pronounce vowels anymore. He's a dick. What a dick.
I don't think the two are related.
Maybe they're not. Maybe they're both just true.
I'd like to protest. I can pronounce voles.
Nicely done.
See what he did there. We do need a drummer in here. We need some rim shots. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to actor Ethan Hawke. His wife, Ryan Shaw Hughes, delivered their first child, a girl named Clementine. This week.
Clementine.
Clementine. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. Us Weekly magazine broke the news. Ethan, of course, has two prior children with actress Uma Thurman. And that's how he met his current wife. She was the nanny for he and Uma. So that's great. It's nice they're keeping it all in the family. At least we know Ryan can watch after the kids. He knows that firsthand.
True. That's right.
Although his hands are going to be tied when it comes time to hire a nanny, I'll tell you that.
Oh, exactly. Be some burly black dude named Bubba.
Yep.
Speaking of sluts.
Yes.
And stars of the film Dead Poets Society. See how I tie it all together?
Yeah.
Ethan's old co-star, Balthazar Getty, is in the news with his slut, Sienna Miller.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who haven't been following the story closely, Balthazar Getty is a married fella with four children, and he has just left his wife for Sienna Miller, and they've been seen cavorting up and down the Amalfi Coast in Italy, making out publicly on boats and on hotel balconies, usually with Sienna in the nude.
Right.
Or at least topless.
Almost always.
Almost always showing some portion of her body that is ordinarily covered with some sort of clothing.
She's a goer.
Yeah, she's a good time. Anyway, Sienna Miller is now suing the two British newspapers and the photo agency who published the photos of her and topless with Balthazar Getty.
How can she do that?
She accuses them of a breach of privacy. Invasion of her privacy.
Is there such a thing?
By publishing her photos of her out in public with her top off, making out with somebody.
Nice try.
She wasn't in her house and they had a long lens going into her bedroom. No. I mean, she was out in the water, in the ocean,
right? She was out on a deck of a boat on one scene and in the balcony of a hotel for another.
So outside where everyone could see.
Yeah, so she is suing the News of the World and the Sun newspapers in the UK, which ran the stories and the photos. And she is looking for, let me see what she's asking for in damages here. Hold on, I got it someplace here. No, it doesn't say. But she's already won one lawsuit, high-profile lawsuit, where she sued someone for highly intrusive photos of her while she was filming a nude scene for the movie Hippie Hippie Shake.
Oh, I remember those.
That. Yeah, she was on the set, and she was nude in there, and that was sort of someone sneaking in with a long lens and getting shots of her. She won $75,000 in a judgment against those papers for that. I guess she's hoping once again to win this.
Do you think she's trying to protect her image?
Yes, because she's a good girl.
Sure.
She doesn't think badly of her.
There's certainly no one left who hasn't seen her boobs, so I don't know how much more damage can be done by more naked photos getting out.
I'd like to see more of her boobs.
You never have too much.
You will. Don't worry about it.
Hollywood Reporter does a story today about whether Christian Bale's arrest in London after allegedly assaulting his own mother and sister will hurt the Dark Knight at the box office. Are you kidding me? Warner Brothers executives wouldn't comment on the record, but they said probably it won't hurt the box office.
He could rape a bitch on TV and people would still go see the Dark Knight.
Yeah. One exec says it's so imprinted in people's mind that Dark Knight is a must-see movie that no one will care if the guy may be a jerk or not.
Well, that's nice.
Way to stand up and back up your star.
Considering all the reports that came out yesterday about his clown mom.
Yeah, she seems to be a bit of a nut loaf.
I was more surprised that his mom used to be a circus clown than I was that Christian Bale may have hit her.
Here's the deal. You know, he was a child actor. If you ever saw Empire of the Sun, the Steven Spielberg movie, he's a little boy in that.
Right.
That's right.
And his parents divorced at a very young age. And his mother said to him, as a boy, you have to decide who you want to live with, me or your father. You have to choose one of us.
Oh.
Imagine doing that to a kid.
Not split custody or
nothing.
Anything?
You
make
a choice.
Choose
who you want to live with. And so Christian chose his dad when he was a little kid, and his dad became his manager when he was a child actor.
Right.
And they developed a very close bond. And apparently now that he's this big international movie star, his mom's got her nose a little bit out of joint.
Well, she made him choose, so she needs to shut the F up.
So she shows up loaded asking for money, uninvited at his hotel, and then starts bad-mouthing his wife. And as you can imagine, things didn't go well from there.
Yeah.
And this is a guy, I mean, you know, I'm certainly not trying to excuse his behavior if there was something more sinister than what it looks like is happening. But this is a guy who's, there's never been a whiff of trouble with this dude. I mean, it sure seems like it's coming out of the blue and coming from the other side.
Speaking of lawsuits, 50 Cent is suing Taco Bell.
Why?
He ate their food.
How dare you?
He got screwed at the drive-thru?
I'm kidding. They screw you at the drive-thru.
That's what happens.
He's upset because apparently they, in a sort of funny open letter, printed an ad with a picture of 50, asking him kindly to change his name to 79, 89, or 99 cent in order to go along with Taco's Why Pay More campaign.
And they put a picture in and he's upset about that? Or?
Yeah, because they used his likeness without his permission. But they were saying, dear Mr. Cent, would you please change your name to 79, 89, or 99 cents for our new low-value menu?
Did they call him Mr. Cent?
I think they did.
That would be funny
Senor,
if they did.
Senor Cent, I think they call him, because it's Taco Bell.
Yeah, sure.
Fitty is looking for, how much do you guess he's looking for in damages?
It's impossible.
What can you know?
69, 79, or 89 cents?
Oh, you wish. $4 million he'd like to get from Taco Bell.
Oh, for God's
which
sake.
Is probably what he gets for his advertising campaigns.
Really? Suppose.
Probably.
Wow.
I mean, if Pepsi or somebody comes to 50 and wants him to do a campaign, they're going to pay him $4 million, I would imagine. I understand where he's getting. I mean, at least. Look.
He got a lot more than that for that vitamin water deal.
Well, yeah, he was part owner or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was his product. But I can understand why people could be misled into believing that 50 Cent is endorsing Taco Bell in an ad like that.
I can't really, because it's a letter to him.
Yeah, it's an open letter. It's not as if...
Not like he's saying, hey, people, I'm going to change.
He's holding a taco saying, I show like this.
But having said that, I don't think they're allowed to do it. So can I hear your 50 Cent again, please?
I show like this.
Okay.
I'd get shot again for these tacos.
That'd be a good campaign.
That would be a good campaign. I'd take a bullet for this burrito. And lastly, A source close to Brangelina tells E! Online that they're not slowing down. Now they've got the, what, six kids?
Six.
Six. That's enough.
Nope. According to E! Online, Angelina wants a total of 12 kids.
Oh.
No!
When all is said and done, she would like 12 as a symbolic reference to the number of apostles in the Bible.
That's a
joke. When did she get to be so religious?
You don't know her.
That's a joke.
Maybe she is. It's
you
not a joke.
You don't decide how many kids to have based on the apostles
in
the Bible.
So you hate God.
That's no, how I'm saying who makes that decision?
Well, fine. Maybe you don't love Jesus. That's fine. It's okay. You don't have to play that way. Why don't you just go to the dark side? Just hang out with Satan then. Maybe you should do that.
He already is. Are there any...
Yes, he's working with him for 10 years, by the way.
Are there any reasons to have 12 kids? Is there one good reason? I mean, I can understand if you're adopting kids that need homes or have special needs and can't get anything elsewhere. I understand that. But to create 12? Is
you're going to start your own football team.
My dad came from a family of 12 kids, but that was another generation.
That's
and they
didn't know how to not have kids.
Yeah. They were on a farm, so they would all work. And, I mean, I don't even understand it today.
And apparently all play, too, by the way.
Every time we have sex, you have another kid. I don't get the relationship.
Why has my dad got to be dumb? Just because I am.
Well, the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, is all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays... Michael Richards of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, what happened
That's
to Michael?
How we remember him,
what happened
Seinfeld?
To Michael since he was dropping those N bombs all over the place? Where's he been?
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Oh, he dropped down to get his thing together.
Wherever you drop down is where he is.
We haven't seen him. He's 59 years old today. Wonder Woman Linda Carter is 57 years old today. Let me tell you something about 57-year-old Linda Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pie gal.
Really?
She
plays Pie gal?
No, she just looks great.
Didn't she save someone's life the other day, too, Ralph?
No, she found a corpse.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, so she got there too late?
She spotted a corpse floating in the Potomac. I think she lives in Washington because her husband's a politician. I think he's a senator.
Well, where was she when the person needed her?
Not very Wonder Woman-like, is it?
Looking out the window going, hey, wait a minute, that looks like a body. And it was.
Doesn't she know celebrities save lives?
Yeah. You know, she's lost a step. Now she's 57. Golden Lasso doesn't get quite as hard as it used to. You know, so.
And how about a production meeting for a TV show where they said, let's make the jet invisible? How about that?
Well, that came from the comic books. They didn't have much of a choice there. You know?
It's so hilarious to see that on the old show, though.
Kristen Chenoweth from Pushing Daisies.
Mm-hmm. Belle Nobel.
I think she's adorable.
Was she on the West Wing, that girl?
She sure was.
What's the one about the pie maker who brings people back to life?
It's not Pushing Daisies.
Pie maker.
That's that old TV show.
No. That's a...
No. No, I think Ralph's right. It's Pushing Daisies and she's on it. I think he's right on both counts.
There was a new one where if he touches them, they come back to life.
Yeah, he's a pie maker and he works at a pie shop and she's the girl who works in the pie shop with him.
Email Ralph at krock.com.
I don't think you need an email.
I think he's right.
Pushing Daisies is the name of the series.
Even if he's right, email him and tell him he's right.
Don't. Just leave me be.
Okay, sorry.
It's Pushing Daisies and she's on it.
All right. Okay. All right.
Everyone stand down.
It is.
Anna Paquin turns 26 years old today. Little Bindi Irwin, daughter, of course, of Steve Irwin. What?
How's
what
that
are you
funny?
About that?
Ooh.
She's 10 years old today.
An excellent rapper, too, by the way.
Yes, she is.
And a special shout out to, we usually don't do private birthdays.
Yeah.
But our buddy Paul Lee. Who's responsible for so much good artwork here on the Kevin and Bean Show, has done a couple of Christmas albums for us, has done an amazing sketch of Rodney standing on his Star of the Walk of Fame, which we love. Some of us love more than others. Some of us love enough to put on a T-shirt.
What are you talking about?
Some of us
about?
Are somehow involving Paul Lee in a class action lawsuit that's soon to be filed.
Paul's actually a very talented comic book artist as well. He has drawn me into several issues of the Green Arrow comic.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool, and he's a good guy, and he's a friend of the show, so we want to wish him a happy birthday. And actress-singer Jennifer Lopez is 40 years old today, and you're all lucky it's 6:04, because
we literally don't have time.
We literally don't have time. There literally isn't any room for J-Lo, but there might be in the next hour. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with Speed.
All right, let's talk about Bean's imminent death.
By the time you get off work at the Burger Galaxy, you won't have to be outside waiting around for me. My new jetpack arrived today. I'll be there.
People.
I'm talking about. I said to my wife yesterday, I said, I can't wait for tomorrow's show. My God, I've been looking forward to this my whole life. The guy who's cracked the jetpack technology is going to be on our program. The guy who's taken it out of the 60s and bringing it into the 21st century. I can't wait. She said, you're not getting a jetpack. I said, of course I'm getting a jetpack. And she said, don't I, as the widow, have a vote? Let's welcome Glenn Martin, who is the inventor of the Martin Jetpack and the managing director of Martin Aircraft Company, to the Kevin and Bean Show for the single greatest moment in radio history. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Bean. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. And you can just forget about everybody else in the room here because they don't have the vision that you and I have, my friend.
I've already given me your Amex card number. It's on the way.
Glenn, we've talked about this for many, many years on our show, and I'm sure you've had the same conversation with your friends and colleagues over the years. I feel like the world was promised jetpacks since they started putting them in movies and TV shows at the turn of the last century. Jetpacks were always right around the corner. What's been the holdup?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit like you, Bean. I was just terribly disappointed when I saw it as a kid in the 60s on all the TV programs like Lost in Space. And then one night after a beer or two at college, we started discussing it, and I started reusing the university system to research it and discovered that as Scotty used to say on Star Trek, you can't change the laws of physics, Jim. And the hydrogen peroxide based things, you know, they just go for 20 seconds and that's it. And you can't change that physics. So I suppose I was really disappointed about that. I weigh 220 pounds. And all the jetpack pilots or rocket belt pilots of the 80s and 60s all weighed about 170.
Right.
Yeah. So I wanted something that was a little bit more powerful. And I started it really as a as a thing to do in nights and weekends, and spent about 4 years doing calculations and figured out a way to build something you can strap on your back and fly around for about half an hour.
Now, is it true that you have been, you developed and have been designing this since 1981?
That's right, 27 years.
Wow!
That's dedication. But no, that's how significant this breakthrough is if it works. Now, if you're not using the kinds of fuels that they've tried in the past that have limited us to 30-second flights or less, have been fuels that have been heavy, have been dangerous, they burn hot. A lot of problems with those. What did you come up with instead, Glenn?
Well, I mean, I set myself a goal that had to fly 100 times longer than the Balrog belt. I wanted standard fuel. So at the moment, we're using premium, I think, here in the U.S. So it's just the same stuff. You can rock up to your local gas station and say, fill her up and
really?
Buy yourself a Coke and then fly off into the sunset.
So you could just fly literally across the country, just stopping at gas stations when you need gas.
That's right. You might have to have a few conversations with the FAA about doing that. But, yeah, in theory, you can do that.
How about the exhaust from an engine so close to your body?
Yeah, I mean, it's we've spent obviously 27 years of this, and if you think about the automobile, you know, the key technology behind an automobile is the internal combustion engine. But there are a lot of other things there as well. There's braking systems and steering systems and cooling systems, and the exhaust coming out of a car is quite hot. But, you know, we've learned how to duck that away from people and keep it safe so you don't burn yourself. And we've had to go through the same exercise. And that's probably why it's taken so long. It's not just the key thruster technology that we've developed that is 92% efficient. It's also how you keep everything safe, how you keep things away from people, mm-hmm. How you get the reliability in there, and how do you learn to fly it. I mean, you can't go down to your local club and buy, you know, there's no flying instructors that can teach you how to fly a jetpack at the moment unless you talk to us.
Now, that brings up another point, because my man Bean is obsessed with getting his own jetpack. Now,
yeah.
You're going to unveil them next week, right?
Absolutely. Tuesday morning in the air show at Air Venture at Oshkosh. Yep.
Are they going to be for sale then?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Yeah. How will Bean, who is a gigantic, awkward, accident-prone doofus...
How dare you? How dare you?
...be able to not kill himself when he straps that onto his back?
Well, you know, it's an aircraft, and as you know, anybody can kill themselves in an aircraft if they try hard enough. And... you know, you can't change that, again, that law of physics. Once you're up in the air, if you fly into the side of a bridge and don't look where you're going, you know, you can, just like you can in a car, you can cause a lot of mayhem.
There's no question that that's going to happen with Bean.
Yeah, so that's why I think his wife's right to have his insurance set up properly.
Now, can you teach him? If he went to you, could you teach him how to fly?
Yeah, I mean, we're going through that process. That's the last part, I suppose, of our development program. We've got a couple of Harrier pilots, jump jet.
Right.
We've got a squadron leader and a wing commander that have been working with us on control systems, how you fly these things, because we are literally writing the book on not only how do you fly, but how do you teach people to fly.
Yeah. Right.
And,
Glenn, you fly in about 30 minutes at a pop? Is that what you're up to?
You can do. No, we've only flown for about 4 or 5 minutes at a pop at the moment. That's part of our development program. But when you say, well, you know, in that time we burn, you know, I've got to translate into American. You know, in that time, we probably burn half a gallon of fuel, and we've got a 5-gallon fuel tank.
So how about that?
Okay, what's the furthest distance you've gone with a jetpack strapped on?
Probably 100 yards, turn around, come back 100 yards. You know, we're doing basic stuff at the moment. We've restricted it to no more than 6 feet above the ground. We can go higher. A couple of times, my 15-year-old son, when I wasn't looking, strapped in and got away on us.
That's awesome. If I were your kid, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd just
take,
where's the jetpack?
Yeah, theoretically, how far can you go?
Yeah, theoretically, you can go about 30 miles. At the moment, it's the thing set up to go into what you guys call the ultralight rule.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're restricted to about 60 mile an hour forward speed, and it flies for half an hour, so that's about 30 miles.
How balanced is it?
It's inherently a little bit like a helicopter in that the weight is below the lift line. You know, just like in a helicopter, it's taken them 30 or 40 years to learn how to get them upside down,
mm-hmm.
Because the center of gravity is below where that head rotor is.
Right.
And now things are the same. The thrusters are up high and the center of mass is down low, so it has this sort of pendulum stability, so it naturally wants to be upright. You know, so that helps a lot, obviously, for the stability. And as I say, my 15-year-old son flies it. We're over here in Wisconsin. We're staying with a very nice family. And the lady of the house, who is a grandmother, saw us flying around in her backyard and wanted to have a go. So we strapped her in and gave her a little, we held on a little bit, but, you know, we got her to get off the ground and do a couple of little circuits in her backyard. So
wow.
She was the first American to fly and the first grandmother. So.
This is the voice of my new best friend, Glenn Martin, by the way, the inventor of the Martin Jetpack. If you want to follow along online, it's martinjetpack.com. And again, Tuesday is going to kind of be the official unveiling to the public. What do you anticipate, Glenn, this item will go for when it becomes generally available to the public for sale?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first generation of practical jetpacks, so it's in some ways it's a little bit like the Model T Ford or the Wright Brothers plane, and I'm sure in a few years' time it's going to get cheaper and better as time goes on. The technology we've developed has few limits, but again, initially the first ones are going to be about $100,000 US, so they're not a cheap item, but when you have a look at them, you'll see why. There's a hell of a lot of carbon fiber and a lot of technology, obviously, after 27 years developed into this. And in the end, I think the price might come down to sort of where you would be for a high-end motorcycle. And a lot of that depends on the volume, how many do we make and all that sort of stuff.
Sure. And you'll take a check from me when I get there on Tuesday, right?
I will, absolutely.
There are a lot of people that would be willing to pitch in to get Bean this jetpack so he'll plant himself in the ground.
How dare you?
There's an opportunity here for Kevin to have his own radio show.
There you go. That's what he's been looking for, a way to squeeze me out for years. That's the answer. Well, look, I hope it's so funny. We've had a lot of conversations in the weeks since we read about this and leading up to this interview, Glenn, and we were laughing yesterday about, I don't know, do you see the Iron Man movie when Tony Stark is trying to figure out how to make his suit fly, and we just envisioned that's what it was like for you, is flying into the garage and then head first into the ground.
Exactly. Yeah, we've had our moments, of course, and when I suppose I'm a scientist by training, and people call me, you know, the boring old scientist, and I suppose one of the reasons why it's taken 27 years, I've tried very hard not to hurt anybody in this process. And so far, I managed to achieve that. You know,
well, let's speed things up. People can be, you know, there's too many of us the way it is. Let's speed up this process.
Exactly. All right, last point to make for you, Mr. Martin, and that is we all thought that when the Segway was unveiled and made the cover of Time magazine as the transportation device that was going to change the way we all live, we all thought, well, now the future has arrived. And that just, for whatever reason, just petered out. Yeah. You're not going to let that happen with this. Well, this isn't going to be something that we're going to think back on in 2 years ago. Hey, whatever happened to that dude?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's part of it is that I think, you know, the Segway was unfortunate. It's a fantastic device, and Dean Carman did a great job. But they were unfortunate. I don't know what it's like in the US here, but at home in New Zealand, you aren't allowed to drive a Segway on the road because it doesn't have airbags and bumpers and all those things.
Right.
And you're not allowed to drive it on the sidewalk because it's a motorized vehicle. So they were sort of had a bit of a problem legally.
Oh, right. I see.
You know, we've designed this to meet the ultralight rules. So and ultralight rules have been around in the US since about 1972, and the tens of thousands of them around the country. So wherever you can fly an ultralight, you'll be able to fly this. So, I think there's an opportunity there for people to go out and have a lot of fun.
MartinJetpack.com is the site. Our guest has been Glenn Martin. Glenn, let's talk again soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, bye now. You are so going to die.
I am so there. Well, Kevin, we made my dreams come true already this morning talking to the jetpack guy. Now it's time for you to have the happiest 5 minutes of your life. Guess who's on the phone right now?
I've never been more excited about this because yesterday it came out that Christian Bale, when he was arrested and taken into the police station, it was because his mom, who was drunk, came in asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
And Ralph told me that his mom was a circus clown. And that might be the best news I've ever heard.
You don't see a lot of circus clowns making the news, but we got to find out what the deal is with Christian Bale, the Batman's crazy mom, and the fine actor and star of the summer blockbusters on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Is it true what Ralph told us, that your mom is a former circus clown?
Yes, she did have a career for a while, and she was a performer in the circus.
Mm-hmm. As a clown?
Yes, she was a clown in the circus.
She was a circus clown then?
Yes, okay, yes. She was a circus clown, but it's been some time since she's performed in the circus. So
right.
It's really not, I think, relevant to what's been going on in our family situation, but...
Well, it seems like a pretty serious family situation. It seems like, you know, there were some words and it seemed heated and they mm-hmm. went to the police. Then you had to answer questions. That doesn't seem very fun.
Well, like most family situations, it's complex. And so I'm sure from the outside, this looks like a newsworthy situation. But in reality, it's been an ongoing struggle in my family for years. that my parents divorced when I was quite young, and I've been living with my father for most of my young life, and so my mother and I have been estranged, and she just sort of popped back up recently, and words were exchanged, but I assure you it was just, a family squabble, not something sinister, no matter how the press chooses to portray it.
Will you, I don't know if you've had contact with Mom since that ugly incident in London the other night, but are you talking to her again?
Actually, today she's supposed to come around my flat, and we're going to try to patch things up and,
oh, really?
And become more civil with each other. And,
oh, well, that's good.
Actually, she's due any minute now. She should be. Well, here she comes now.
Well, she makes quite an entrance, doesn't she?
She always shows up with about 20 of her friends in a very, very small car.
Yeah. Well, of course.
It's not ideal for the neighbors, but all right, yes, there's Bobo.
Are they still getting out of the car?
Yeah, they're still getting out.
All right.
She drives, so she's usually the last one to get out of the car.
Oh, I see.
There's Bobo.
Is that a donkey?
Bozo. Clucko.
Is that a wolf?
There's the wolf boy comes from the sideshow. He comes with him as well.
She travels with the whole circus?
Yes.
Is that a cow?
All right, yes. Mom, could you just come in? Just come in. What, no, leave them outside, Mom. Just have a seat. Put the dolphin down.
Is that a
dolphin? Put the dolphin down, Mom.
Don't bring the dolphin into the meeting.
Have the elephant put the dolphin down. Just make yourself some tea. I'm on the phone.
Is that a frog?
Yeah, the frog's mine.
What's going on?
Yeah,
what's going on, Christian?
Tank. All right, yes. I know, Lobo, I know. I'll get you some food in a minute. See, this is why it's so difficult to have a conversation with my mother, because she travels with these people.
Oh, sure.
And they're all drunk. There's nothing worse than drunk carnies, circus folk in your house.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, just, no. I just bought that.
Christian, you all right?
The juggling to China.
Oh, just, sorry.
See, this is why we can't have a decent conversation, Mom.
Yeah, I think we got you at a bad time, Christian. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all right. Look, now, just get off the pogo stick.
She's on a pogo stick.
There's people who live up beneath me, Mom. They're going to complain.
How'd she get up to your floor? Shot out of a cannon?
No, she came up a fire hose wearing a funny hat.
I see, okay.
Yeah, Lobo, stop it. do not hump the couch.
How are you going to have a heart-to-heart?
I don't know. This is why we can't connect, because she's constantly pulling these kind of stunts.
It's all coming clear to me now.
Yeah, the sheep is mine, too.
Really?
Yeah.
So you got a frog and a sheep.
Yeah.
Dolphin, not yours.
The dolphin is not mine, no. I hate that freaking dolphin.
What's that noise?
That is...
What is that?
I don't know. Christian, ask Omar.
What is that? Christian? What's that noise?
None of us can identify that one, Christian. Any ideas?
Hey, go back to the air compressor.
It's a lion of some sort.
It's a lion.
All right. That is quite enough of that. Right, so anyway, like I was saying. Oh, stop it! Stop it! I hate you, Mom!
Oh, no. Alright, we're back on ESPN Radio. Did the fight, is it going to destroy the WNBA? That's what I heard yesterday on the radio. Is it going to destroy the WNBA?
First of all, why is ESPN talking about the WNBA? I thought they only talked about professional sports, first of all.
Oh, Bean.
Nicely
and
done.
And second of all, hasn't it been destroyed for years? Hasn't it already been destroyed?
There was a huge fight, and that doesn't happen a lot in the WNBA.
But forever?
I did hear that yesterday. They were taking calls on whether they thought this was going to be the end of it.
Oh, really?
That's weird. Because that's not what it's about, because it's about competitive athletics and sportsmanship? Is that what they were suggesting?
Of course, but
that's every sport. Yeah, unless there's fights in every sport.
Yeah, unless people who fight are going to ruin the NBA. It doesn't ruin anything. It's
no.
just
right.
You can look at it, if you're a purist and you love the game, you can look at it and go, that's horrible, I wish it didn't happen. It's not going to destroy
a sport, right? No. I mean, clearly, anytime you have human beings that are involved in highly charged competitive situations, there are occasionally going to be dust-ups. I think this is the first one of any kind of magnitude that's happened to the Women's Basketball League, though.
You can go to krock.com. Kevin and Bean, and then Internet Roundup, and there's a link there to watch the video. You can see it happen, but it really is one of those kind of fights that you have to put in quotations, because there was really, it all started with kind of a little hip check, and it was, you know, it was rude or whatever, and the other girl fell down, and everybody just started going crazy, but there were no real...
No punching?
Well, there was a punch. One of the players did punch Rick Mahorn, a coach, in the back of the head.
Okay.
It was kind of a slap punch.
Right.
Because they thought that he pushed down Lisa Leslie. Here's ESPN talking about
Detroit's WNBA team is called The Shock, which was an appropriate description of what went down at the end of the Sparks win there tonight. The game was close and not as close as they got physically. Hip checked by Planette Pearson of the Shock. Sparks' Candace Parker goes down. The fight ensues later in the skirmish. Watch Shock assistant coach Rick Mahorn in that electric blue suit.
Now he comes over. He comes off the bench and he's... by all accounts, just trying to settle everything down.
Right, separate people.
But then I don't know if he was just, you can't tell what he's doing. It doesn't look like he went out to start swinging. But one of the players got knocked down by him. So that's when the other player went over and started hitting him in the back of the head.
Appear to push Lisa Leslie, who falls down. Then Delisha Milton-Jones will punch Mahorn in the back of the head. They were all ejected. Detroit's Cheryl Ford hurt her knee trying to hold back Pearson and left in a wheelchair. Obviously, Leslie and Mahorn had a different view of what went down.
So this is Lisa Leslie talking about what happened with the coach.
This is not the way we want to represent ourselves. You know, I'm a mom. I don't want to represent myself like this in front of my daughter. And then to have, you know, a coach push me down, I don't even know why was he pushing me down. I wasn't swinging or hitting anybody. I was just going to go and help my teammate up, you know. And as a veteran, I wouldn't have fought anyone because that wasn't even, you know, in my heart.
This is a women's game. I know I would never put my hands on a woman to make them hurt themselves. I was trying to protect the whole game, the integrity of the game. The WNBA is very special to me because I have four daughters. I don't even raise my hand to them, and I would never push a woman.
Okay, so they had a fight, and someone left in a wheelchair?
Well, yeah.
There was one punch.
Well, I mean, you can watch it on the video. It's up at the Internet Roundup.
That's weak.
It was kind of a weak fight.
Baseball team's brawling. No one leaves in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened exactly. I think it was a Paul Pierce incident. I think that's what happened.
I think you're right.
They called over a wheelchair and said, I need it right away. I don't know what I'm going to do.
All I know is that girl fights is a good direction for the league. That's all I know.
That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't hurt.
Mike was just saying off the air, if you can guarantee us a fight per game...
maybe you'll
buy some tickets.
Yep.
Buy some season tickets for that. But I don't think it's going to ruin it. I think it's going to help it like it does hockey. And I think that they should demand. I think that should be a rule in the WNBA. If you don't get in a fight by the end of the game, you get a technical foul.
Throw in a couple of ringers.
Yes. Yeah. I like
it. Right.
A couple of women just got out of jail.
Yeah.
Joshua Stinson, by the way, from Long Beach, won tickets to go see Jack Johnson. We got great summer concert tickets for you all week here on K-Rock. And next hour, how about Nine Inch Nails? How about that? Also, Simon Pegg, terrific actor, joining us on the program today. And Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files. That's all straight ahead. Yeah.
He's such a good guy.
Ralph saw this last night and said it was great.
Hanging out with Chris. He says hi.
You talked to Chris?
Yes. And I said, do not party too hard tonight. You have to be in early in the morning.
He strikes you as a partier?
Go right home after the screening. I don't want you going to that after party. And he laughed and pushed me out of the way.
Well, I'm looking forward to catching up with Mr. Carter later on this morning's Kevin Bean Show. That's Ralph talking. He saw the movie last night. Will tell us very little about it, but I guess we'll have to wait for tomorrow's movie beat.
Yeah. They want to keep it secret, the plot line, as you can imagine. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But I did get a chance to talk to Chris and Frank Spotnitz, the writer of many of the episodes on the show, of course, and of the two films.
Right.
David Duchovny, had a chance to chat with him. Jillian Anderson, who just couldn't be more lovely.
She's pregnant again, right?
Yes, she is. And looked great.
Yeah.
And we may have another girl to add to the list of tens.
Oh, really?
Had a long conversation with Amanda Peete last night.
Oh, boy, is she
the whole package.
She's beautiful.
Yeah. She is the whole package.
She is stunning. and could not be funnier and more charming and more down to earth. She got out of her limo and walked across the street, across Hollywood Boulevard, and signed a bunch of autographs for the people who were lined up waiting to see.
That's pretty cool.
See the film and to see the stars go down the red carpet. I thought that was really cool, and she was very, very funny. And I bring you greetings from Mitch Pileggi, who, of course, played Director Skinner on the show for many, many years. Apparently, he listens to our show every day.
He doesn't have to say that.
I know he does. It's very weird when you meet people that you are big fans of, and they say, "I'm such a big fan of yours. Love the Showbiz Beat." Kevin and Bean I said hi. No, I didn't even say who I was. He and his wife could not have been nicer. So I bring you salutations from Director Skinner.
We've learned through the years that anybody that says they like the show is going to follow it with a butt.
There was no butt.
All right.
Speaking of movies, I've got tickets to give away. This is your last chance to win tickets to the special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers, a new comedy starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. I've got two pairs of tickets to give away this hour. But I'm going to have to ask you a trivia question. You're going to have to earn them. So if you're one of the first two callers through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer to the following trivia question, you'll win yourself a pair of tickets for tonight's screening at the Arclight Theater of Step Brothers. Get to see the movie before it comes out tomorrow. In 2003, one of the stars of Step Brothers, John C. Reilly, starred in 3 out of the 5 movies nominated for Best Picture. How about that?
Wow.
For a year. That's a pretty good year for him. What were the 3 films that he starred in that year that were nominated for Best Picture? 3 out of the 5 movies nominated for Best Picture for the Oscars were featuring John C. Reilly. Name those movies. 1-800-520-1067. Call now and win your tickets to Step Brothers.
That's a great question. I have 2 that came instantly to mind, but have no idea what the 3rd one is.
Well, there you go.
You can't go to the screening, then.
Guess not.
Heard you guys talking to Christian Bale earlier. That sounds like a madhouse there at his house.
That is tough.
More details are coming out about the altercation between himself and his sister and his mom. Apparently,
we're referring to her as Clown Mom, if you don't mind.
Clown Mom. Apparently, it was his sister who asked for the money. This, according to whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com, their story comes from the London tabloid, saying that his sister Sharon said to Christian that she needed $200,000 to help raise her kids. She claims she only asked to borrow it. She is a computer programmer.
Do you just barge in on a press junket and just demand $200,000?
By the way, if she can't raise her kids and she's a computer programmer or whatever she's making, as Tyler Burden asks, how many lines of code do you have to write to get $200,000 back? When would he ever see that money back is pretty much what they're asking.
Probably a couple weeks.
So he said not so much, and that's when the brouhaha started. But apparently it was his sister asking for the cash.
Mom was just juggling?
Yeah, Mom was just juggling the Mac.
Mamo didn't try to stop her, though.
No, she didn't.
Ralph, we have a winner if you'd like.
Wow!
Already?
Wow!
Jason in Corona, good morning.
Hi, this is Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, the answer was the Hours, Chicago, and Gangs of New York.
That's right, The Hours, Chicago, and Gangs of New York were 3 films starring John C. Reilly that were nominated for Best Picture in the year 2003. Congratulations. Hold on, we'll give you all the details, but you're going to the screening tonight of Step Brothers.
Yes, sir.
As Kevin Smith said on our program yesterday, great use of Wikipedia.
Absolutely. speaking of Christian Bale and The Dark Knight, please stop sending me the following story. Yeah, I know it's all over the internet, but it is in fact a joke. It is a satire. It is not a real news story. This won't be happening.
Okay.
But apparently everyone is abuzz about the fact that, according to this joke story that has been released on the internet and now everyone is picking up as real, Warner Brothers has announced the next villain in the next Batman Dark Knight sequel, The Dark Knight Forever, which is slated to debut in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
The story says Warner Brothers has decided to cast infomercial kingpin Matthew Lesko as the Riddler.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a dude with the jacket with
because
the
he wears
question
a suit
marks on
with
it.
Question marks all over it.
Yeah.
According to Warner Brothers production president Jeff Robinov, I can't quite put my finger on what it is, but my gut tells me Lesko's a natural for this part. There's just something about his look that screams Riddler. Yeah, that's a joke story, people. That's
and
not
it came
really
from one of the late night TV shows.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel.
Was it Jimmy? Yeah, did a mock-up commercial with Lesko in it. That's where it came from.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel did that last
there you
week.
Go. It's all over the place.
So people see that and they go, wow, did you hear?
This is a scoop. He's going to be the Riddler.
Yeah, it was a joke.
9 out of 10 Batman fans say it would be a marked improvement over Jim Carrey's performance, but still, not going to happen. Matthew Lesko will not be the Riddler. Sorry.
Good, because he yells too much for me.
You can get money! Yeah, we don't need that guy in our face for 2 hours.
No.
You want to see Kelly Pickler on Dancing with the Stars?
No.
Hold on a second here. Sound down, maybe, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Rather than hear her sing or talk, we get to watch her shake her ass
and her new fake boobs.
Skimpy outfit with her new fake boobs.
But can't now.
Kim Kardashian and Kelly Pickler? That's quite a season.
That's pretty big.
So far, so good. Is it still Dancing with the Stars?
Sure, there's that.
I'm out.
Apparently, she tells OK Magazine that she is in talks with producers, desperate to try out her chops on the dance floor. It would be fun, she said.
It's quite a quote.
It is. Kelly says she already likes to go to clubs and shake it. So, let's see her do it on television.
Just like that.
That's all I'm saying. Movie news. MTV has announced that Fox is going to remake the Rocky Horror Picture Show musical. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the 1975 cult classic movie, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's so good because it's so bad. It walks that fine line of being great, horrible, great.
Horrible.
That's the magic of that film. Now, in reality, it's not a bad film. There's some great performances in it. Great cast. Susan Sarandon and Barry Boswick and Tim Curry and Meatloaf. I mean, it's a very fun film, but it's a weird, odd, quirky little film that deserves to be sort of a cult classic, and people go on midnights and they throw stuff at the screen. It's a good time.
Right.
You don't need to remake that. That's not going to work. But musicals now are so hot, I guess they're looking for any property they can to turn around and pump up the volume.
Well, you don't need to remake most movies that are remade, but as Kevin always points out, there's a huge audience out there that buys tickets to go to the movies that's never going to watch the 1975 version, so why not play to them?
Yeah, I suppose.
They've never heard the hit song from that.
How great is Mel Al?
I don't think that's the hit. I don't think that's
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What? I don't think that's the hit from Rocky Horror Picture Show. No. I'm just the sweet transvestite. Remember that song?
No, but you sell it well.
Are you asking Kevin?
From Transsexual Transylvania.
Am I bad, Ralph, that I've never been a fan of that movie? Did not enjoy it?
Don't care about it at all. You know, that movie involves a certain amount of fun and abandon. You have to kind of go and, you know, smoke a little or drink a little before you go and sort of have a party while you go see it. I can imagine that you would not be a fan of that experience.
They did not make that for you.
Yeah. And I love The Loaf. Don't get me wrong, but still.
That's not my kind of picture with everyone dancing and singing.
Nobody dies.
I've got a great story and no time for it. So I'm going to have to do it in the next hour. But there's a very interesting article that has broken down salaries of movie stars.
Yes.
And how much a studio gets in return on their investment.
Wow.
Okay. If you pay a movie star $20 million to make a picture, what is the average return on that $20 million? So they break it down. Forbes magazine has broken down per dollar spent on a star's salary, how much they're getting back in return. And it's very interesting when you see the top earners and the bottom earners of what the best bet is. If you're going to hire a star to do in your movie, what the average return is on your investment, dollar for dollar. It's a very interesting story.
So in other words, that's how you decide whether a guy like Tom Hanks, for instance, is still worth paying $20 million based on whether his movies continue to make back enough to justify the salary.
Exactly. I'll give you an example. Tom Cruise is one of the worst earners for the second year, is one of the worst winners in a row in terms of what they pay him versus what they get returned for their dollar, what they spend. So you'll be interested to hear who the top 10 are and who the bottom 10 are. But I don't have time now, so we'll do that in an hour, okay? Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Richards from Seinfeld is 59 years old today. He loves some black people.
He does.
Actress Linda Carter, who, of course, was Wonder Woman on the TV series, is 57. Jennifer Lopez turns 40. Kristen Chenoweth from Pushing Daisies, Lisa.
Apparently.
She's also, I got a lot of Kristen Chenoweth emails saying she was a big Tony Award winner, big Broadway star. That's where she made her bones first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's 38 years old today. Anna Paquin's 26. And little Bindi Irwin, Bindi the Jungle Girl. She's 10 years old today. She sure is cute. Sure hope a crocodile doesn't eat her. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
My nemesis, my foe, Oprah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for the reminder. Appreciate that, Kevin.
No worries.
All right. Here's the deal. And Tammy, we're not going to need your input on this one because I know you're going to side with Oprah.
That would be Lisa.
Tammy. Lisa, right?
Thank you.
I'm so fat.
Here's the thing about Oprah.
And I'm so Kevin fat.
Kevin has been preaching this for years from his side of the console because he's been the victim of it with his own wife, is that you come home and all of a sudden something crazy is going on in your house that's never happened before. And you say, honey, what's happening? And she says, why are you shaving the dog or whatever it is that's weird that's like out of place? And she says, Oprah told me to do it. And that's a conversation that I suspect goes on millions of times a day in millions of households across the country. And this week it happened to me, and now I'm pissed off.
It's a little scary, the power that she wields. Because she'll say something works or you need to do something, and all of a sudden wholesale changes happen. And you go, interesting. Yep. I didn't understand any of this.
And it goes far beyond just buy this book or see this movie or vote for this candidate. I mean, if she came on the TV at 3 o'clock this afternoon and said, replace the salt in your kitchen salt shaker with cyanide. I mean, honestly, women would do it.
Must get cyanide.
Come
must
on, you
put
guys.
In salt.
Not that bad. So,
I'm so fat.
I'm going to bed a couple of nights ago, and, you know, we all have what's comfortable for us. We all have our habits, our traditions. And I'm climbing into bed, and I go, well, that's not my pillow. Where's my pillow? That's my Banky. That's my sock monkey. But that's not my pillow. So I says to Donna, I says,
can we just
where's
stop?
My pillow?
Can we just stop and just don't use the word Banky?
No.
Because I want to punch you in the face. So can you say blanket? Just so
So I says to Donna, I says, where's my pillow? And she says, had to throw it out. And I said, what? That's my comfortable pillow that I sleep with every single night. It's the best pillow in the whole wide world. And she said, I saw Oprah, and Oprah said that you have to change out your pillow. You have to replace them about once a year, which I never heard of before. I mean, I've had this pillow for years. And she said, yeah, they did a whole segment on her show where they talked about all the funk that gets on your pillow. And I'm like, yeah, but it's funk coming out of me. I mean,
it's your funk.
It's not like it's a pillow that I stole from the YMCA or something that's been passed around.
Beans funk, by the way.
what possibly could be on this pillow that would bother me? And she's like, well, they interviewed these experts and they talked about how you get all sorts of fungus on there and stuff like that, and it doesn't matter if you're washing the pillowcase, which I do every week, because stuff gets into the pillow and it must be thrown away. No conversation about it, by the way, because I don't get a vote, because apparently once Queen Oprah has spoken, it's a decree that must be carried out immediately.
Yeah, there's no, hey, Bean, you know that pillow you sleep on?
Right.
Pretty funky. Maybe we can
exactly.
get rid of that. Now we'll get you a new one that you'll love.
This is Tammy here. Yeah. And I'd just like to say that I have a pillow that I love that I actually travel with whenever I travel. I
Not
have
anymore.
To make room for that in my
luggage.
Yeah,
gotta throw it away.
And I would be most upset if someone, without talking to me, threw my pillow away. Now,
I was.
Having heard what Oprah said, I am going to throw my pillow away and replace it.
Of course you are. You have to because you're a woman, Lisa.
She doesn't have any choice.
But I have some allergies and stuff, and maybe that's contributing.
Oprah has
I never
ruled.
Heard that before.
Me either.
So. Neither have I. Neither had Donna. But all of a sudden, Oprah says it, and like she's sleepwalking, she has to instantly go and throw my pillow out. She probably burned it. She gave me a new pillow that's not nearly as comfortable. Of course, it's not broken in, but it's been miserable the last couple nights because I don't have my pillow. And Kevin, like I said, you've been living with this for years, right?
Yeah, of course. So all of a sudden, one day, all the paper plates will be gone. Gone. Not, I mean, it's not like let's use them less. Just gone.
Or use them up.
Yeah. So then I got to go down to the store and buy my own plates. It's really kind of funny. But being with the Aspergers, I mean, he really needs stuff the way it is.
Yeah.
And you take his pillow away.
Yeah.
And he becomes retard strong. He doesn't know what to do.
Well, look, it's no secret that Oprah's the most powerful woman, not just on television, but in the world. And there's no secret that she is just waiting for the moment that she's going to start the revolution.
The time is now.
She's going to say. The time is now. It's going to be happening soon. But we are victims of it, and I'm sure you are too. And this is where we need to spread the word so that other men who it hasn't affected yet, at least that they know of, at least they can get a heads up a little bit that it's coming, that it's heading their way.
That's where our stupid energy-saving light bulbs came from. The entire house was changed in them. And I was like, hey, first of all, they don't put out light. And second of all, they're supposed to last forever. We've already had two burn out.
Well,
you just came home one day and
responsible for that.
You just flipped a switch and it was so dark you couldn't see. And
it
you said, what's up? And
less
your
bright.
Wife said, Oprah told me to throw out all the light bulbs.
Energy-saving light bulbs. Last forever. It's like, what about that one that just burned out? Well... What about that one that just burned out? What about the fact Oprah that we can't see our hand in front of our face?
You know, Oprah just went on the vegan fast a couple months ago.
Oh, no!
How many men do you think came home and there's no meat in the house? It's just gone.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
She's a vegan now?
Well, I don't know if she stayed with it, but she was going to do it for 30 days.
She
100% didn't stay with it, but she did it for, like Lisa said, for about a little over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Did she do it because...
Does my butt look big?
I'm sure
she wouldn't still be that fat if she was on the vegan diet, that's for sure.
I'm so fat.
We're going to open up the telephone lines for you. We need to hear your stories of things that Oprah made your woman do. That's what the topic is on the table. 1-800.
We can hear from the woman, too, who did something because Oprah told her, can't we?
Yeah, okay, I guess. Sure. If you want to talk to a woman, I guess we can. 1-800-520-1067. Oprah is your queen or her queen, made you do or her do what? We'll take your calls after this. All I'm saying is this woman's got to be stopped, and I don't know how to do it, because once my pillow gets taken away because Oprah tells women of the world, and my wife is one of them, that it must be done, now you're affecting me personally.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty big one.
Good luck with that.
Now it's not somebody else's problem. So what did Oprah make you or your woman do, or if you're the woman who follows Oprah and what she says, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Heath in Huntington Beach on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Heath, what's the deal, dude?
Well, a few years ago, I guess my wife was watching Oprah, and I get home from work and, you know, go to the restroom and everything, and come out, and she goes in and checks the toilet paper. And I guess Oprah did a show on personality traits, and one of them was, how do you put the toilet paper roll on the spool? Do you hang the paper on the outside or the inside?
And what does that tell you?
I have no idea, but... So, you know, like every time I go in there, she'd go and check, and she said, you hang it on the outside. And I said, what does it tell you? I don't know, but...
She doesn't know.
She...
Well, why does she do it then?
It's just stupidity, you know?
Dude, why does anyone in a cult do something? Why do you drink the Kool-Aid? Because the leader tells you to.
Yeah, I guess that's so. Well, Dick Whiskey has a little song for your woman.
Girls who analyze your poopy paper! Our horse!
Okay. There you go. Christine is in Santa Monica on line 6. Hi, Christine. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin.
You are an Oprah devotee?
Oh, yeah. Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Candy. Well, about like 2 years ago, remember when she lost a lot of weight at one point in time?
It's hard to remember which time you're talking about.
She goes up and down a roller coaster.
But she went back up, and then I heard her say something like she was trying to maintain it.
I'm so fat.
Right.
I heard that she was eating like 9 almonds a day.
That's
all she was having, 9 almonds a day and water. So I kind of tried it, but I didn't have like 9, I had like 30.
Right.
I can't live off of, because I figured, okay, it's protein, you know, I'm working out. She'd be fine, but it was just insane.
This is the thing about Oprah, though, is you know as a smart woman how stupid it was, but since she told you to do it, you thought, well, what the hell, if Oprah says it can't be that bad.
Christine, we have a little song for you.
Girls who take diet advice from a perpetually big fat bitch are whores!
Thank you for the call.
Let's try line 2 in Cerritos, California. David joins us on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, David. What's your Oprah tale of woe?
Hi. Well, I wanted to say that sometimes it can go in the other direction. About 5-6 years ago, I wanted to get a TiVo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she said, oh, no, we don't want to spend money on that. We don't watch enough TV. And lo and behold, one day come home, and TiVo was on.
What?
And so she says, hey, we've got to get one of these things. It's so easy, even Oprah can use it.
So, oh, so you're so that?
So she denied you until Oprah said it was okay, and then it was fine.
Yeah, went down to Best Buy, picked one up, and...
Wow.
Fantastic.
Sweet.
That's a nice story. Yeah, I wasn't expecting. I didn't think that Oprah could do any good in the world, because I'm really surprised to hear that. That's awesome. I hope she does a show on white pants, if that's the direction she's going.
Dick Whiskey, we have a song for him?
Guys that don't have enough balls to go buy their own TiVo.
That's what I was thinking.
Our pussies.
That's what I was thinking. Why would he just say, okay, no is the answer. All right, let's go to John, who is calling from Whittier. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, John.
The great leader, Oprah, has told your woman what?
Basically, it wasn't my woman, it was my mom. But my mom decided one day around Christmas to tell us all four of her kids that she decided to start ranking them and pick favorites.
What?
Why?
Yeah. And I had the unfortunate event of finding out that I am actually number four of four.
Oh, how's she going to come at you like that?
What was the point of ranking them?
She said, according to my mom, she said that I guess according to Oprah, it's not healthy to treat all your children equally, that you have to pick favorites over the others, something like they work for your love or something.
Yes.
That sounds like your mom may have misunderstood that, but I believe we have a song for you as well.
Women who rank their children! Are funny!
Actor Simon Pegg joins us next hour, by the way. Of course, you know him and love him from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. And he's going to be scouting the upcoming Star Trek movie. So he'll be here between 8 and 9. Keep listening for concert tickets all week long on the Kevin and Bean Show to great summer shows, including Nine Inch Nails, Israel Torres from Rancho Cucamonga just won his. Coming up next hour, your Shut Up Project Revolution.
All right, Afro Line, it's time for 323-520-AFRO. It's a phone number that you can leave us a message on 24 hours a day on any topic, including the podcast of this show, which is available and is going swimmingly.
Dave, what the f***? Wednesday and Tuesday's podcasts aren't working in iTunes. I sense your smell on this.
You are very perceptive, my friend, because Dave is, in fact, in charge of the Kevin and Bean podcasts. And, yeah, we're getting a lot of heat. I'm beginning to think we have more podcast listeners than we do that listen to us during the morning show, to tell you the truth.
You can get the podcast at krock.com, too.
Yes.
I think we're on at an inconvenient time for a lot of people, and we have a lot of people from around the world who want to hear, too.
All right. I'm not sure why this person called. Maybe this is one of those deals where they accidentally dialed the number. Or they just wanted to share how their day was going.
Alrighty.
You never know.
Oh, my God. My dog just pissed on me. And the first person I thought of was you, Kevin, and you, Bean.
Hmm. Okay, I guess.
Dude, I have to say, Dark Knight, best movie of, like, all time. It somehow, I don't know how, but it beats Biodome.
Oh, that's
the Pauly Shore pretty classic.
Strong, pretty strong praise right there.
Yesterday we were talking about Bean's blog and how he dressed up for Bastille Day.
Yes.
And he was holding up his dog's ears, and Bean said these words: "My dog was doing an impression of a French bulldog."
Mm-hmm.
That's what this call's about.
Well, let me get this straight. Your dog is doing an impression of another kind of dog. F*** you, Bean.
And then...
Bean, you have to stop blogging. Immediately. It has to stop now. I've had enough, Bean. I've had it up to here. I'm not in it for your shit anymore. Stop blogging, Bean, or terrible things are going to happen to you. I swear to God, Bean. I swear to God. Terrible things will happen to you, Bean.
Actual threat.
Another satisfied fan.
You know how you see teasers for movies, you see a commercial for a movie, and you just can't wait?
Yes.
That's the way I was for Batman. That's the way I am for Step Brothers. I'm looking forward to Tropic Thunder. I mean, you know, just whatever movie catches your fancy. And this guy really, really excited.
Oh, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2. Oh, I can't wait.
I think that might have caught his attention for another reason.
You think?
Maybe. I'm watching this little Vietnamese Asian guy. Yeah, because Vietnamese people are Asian. Named Kong Lee. Beat the crap out of this guy in the octagon. What do you see in the crowd? A lady clapping with her nubs, two elbows, two little nubs, clapping, going at it. It's gross. Kong Lee should just kick her in her ovary.
Oh,
she's there clapping.
Wow.
And how do you know it was a woman? It could have been a seal.
Her clap should be more important because she's got nubs.
Yeah.
She's willing to slap those together, for God's sakes.
I know you have it for download, but it's been several months. I demand that you play the Kevin and Bean team song. I haven't heard that forever, man, and you need to share it with the world. And I'm not ashamed to demand this. Because what are you going to do? Spoon me to death? I wonder what movie that's from.
It has been a while since
we
played the
time.
Kevin and Bean team song.
Sorry, no time.
The kids
gotta
love
go.
It.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean team song.
Who wants to hear it?
Kevin and Bean team song.
This is embarrassing.
Well, yeah.
I mean, really, like,
but as we pointed out at the time, this is our excuse after the fact, after it was already recorded. It's embarrassing on purpose. I mean, it's supposed to be bad, right?
Well,
yeah,
we're trying
done good,
right? We could have
if we wanted to,
but we were trying to make fun of the sports teams that did all of those bad videos in the 80s.
Exactly.
So we wanted to make it bad on purpose. Exactly. We promise.
We are the team from Kevin and Bean. We're number one on the radio scene. From the beach to the valley and the city. LA 909 and the OC.
I'm Ralph Garman and I'm the best. I got more talent than all the rest.
Yep.
Master of voices and showbiz news. Ain't nobody can fill my shoes.
Nope.
Sexual expert, that is me. I banged every girl from here to Philly. That's the city of brotherly love. King of Mexico, put on the fingerless glove.
That's right, ladies, I'm the king. South of the border, red, white, and green. I can't speak Spanish and grammar is lame. I just rock the no game game. If you think you could handle a piece of me, come down to the bunker in the LBC. LBC.
Long Beach in the house.
Yo! Chocolate for breakfast and for lunch. $400 a month.
A month!
My name is Lightning, call me Jay. Passing judgment is the game I play. I like big trucks and real big boobies. I'm the best at making movies. You better have nice rims on your ride if you want me to sell you any bride.
I like lettuce and bad TV. When it comes to cigarettes, I'm a real OG. Eat pop brownies, go see a play. I'm the traffic hottie named Lisa May. Traffic is the name of my game. There's a huge backup in my lane.
I'm the man who makes the beats. DJ Omar Khan with the Cucamonga Heat. King of the treble and the bass. I wanna punch Rachel Ray in her fat whore face. Eat it, snort it, inject it too. I've done every drug that there is to do. On the ones and twos, I deep in the night. Everything's gonna be okay, alright?
Rich green pleather, bright yellow hair. My sentence structure is beyond compare. Kevin's the name, don't wear it out. I already forgot what I was talking about. Could someone please fill me in? Big Ducks fan. Watch. All the time him. All the time him.
Big Ducks fan.
I'm the music man. I write this song. And I play with my all day long. When I'm not pumping iron, I pump my fist. So much that I injured my wrist. I'm Psycho Mike. And I'm here to say my life would be better if I just turned gay. Gay.
I was 6'2" on my date of birth. I'd rather live on Pluto than planet Earth. B to the E to the A to the N. I consider my bulldog my best friend. At night, I dream of my sweet Zach. If stupid Vanessa would give him back. Lurking deep in the Seattle fog, I furiously type up my gay blog. I'm an Asperger's having 8-foot feet. Everybody at the post office calls me Bean.
Penis in the morning, penis at night. Penis is a thing that makes me feel alright. A strong, veiny d- is what I love. I fit big d- like a glove. Don't got no problem with the back door. I'm producer Alex. Call me Super Whore.
We are the team from Kevin and Bean. We're number one on the radio scene. From the beach to the valley and the city. LA 909 and the OC.
Yeah, you're right. It's a bad idea.
I hope that guy's happy with that. I mean, I hope that he's the one that requested it, and I hope he's happy with that. Son of a bitch.
Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour here this morning. By the way, a lot of people have been waiting a long time for this new movie. Ralph, you've already seen it, too.
Yeah, that's me. Lucky, how do you like lucky, me now?
Lucky dog.
I am a dog who is lucky.
Anyway, that's coming up. Simon Pegg next hour. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Interesting story, and before I get to that, let me give away some tickets to the screening tonight. We have a special K-Rock screening of Step Brothers. You can't see it anywhere else except with us before it comes out tomorrow. So if you want to see it before your friends and be able to mock them, like I've been mocking everyone that I saw the new X-Files movie before them, you get that chance right now. Here's the trivia question. If you answer correctly, first person through at 1-800-520-1067. You will get a pair of tickets to the special K-Rock screening tonight at the Arclight of Step Brothers. Stars Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Where and how did they first meet? Now, your mind automatically go to, well, they worked together on Talladega Nights, the Ricky Bobby, Ballad of Ricky Bobby, and that's where they met. Wrong, sir. You'd be wrong.
Before Shake and Bake.
I'll give you this much of a hint. They met through a mutual friend. A mutual friend introduced them, said, you two guys should get together and work together. And that person was a former cast member of Saturday Night Live. So I'll give you that much of a hint.
Okay.
But you need to tell me who introduced the comic pairing of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. How did they first get together? Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck.
And by together, you mean
gay sex.
In a biblical sense, yes. Yeah.
Interesting story in Forbes magazine about who is worth their paycheck in Hollywood.
You know, you see all these times people getting $20 million per film, and people say, well, that person's not worth that. And sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they are. But very interesting. They broke it down per dollar spent in salary for a star, how much return the studios got on that investment.
Okay. Oh, I see. So the people who are going to rank the highest are the people that get paid the least, but their movie did the best.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
For instance, if you shelled out big money for Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz, Nicole Kidman, you lost. You're not making a good bet.
Nicole Kidman is the one that surprises me every year with how much money, $10, $15, $20 million for roles. She rarely appears in a hit film.
For instance, one of her last films, The Invasion. Remember that? The Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For every dollar she was paid, the studio lost $2.70.
Wow.
Cameron Diaz, same. Nicole Kidman was the worst earner for the second year in a row. Tom Cruise, also in the bottom of the list. But the top list moneymakers. Number 10 is Ben Stiller. For every dollar studios have paid him, he has made them back on an average $9.50.
Wow. Nice. Wow. Even though he makes a lot of money, his movies are just huge, right?
Hugh Jackman was number 9. For every buck the studio spends on him, they get back $9.90. Jennifer Aniston, $10.48. George Clooney, $11.56.
Yeah.
Matt Damon, $12.16, as does Naomi Watts. Brad Pitt was number 4, $12.73 for every dollar you pay Brad Pitt.
Wow.
That's your investment return. Julia Roberts, $13.19. Tobey Maguire, $13.44. I think the Spider-Man movies may skew his value
greatly.
A touch. If you don't put him in a mask and have him swing from a web, I'm not sure how much you get on your investment. But guess who the best bet in Hollywood is? Dollar for dollar, when you pay him a dollar, you get $14.73 back on your investment. According to Forbes.
Adam Sandler.
Not Adam Sandler. Not in the top 10. Oh. He's had a bunch of flops lately. So.
Okay. How about Will Smith?
Not profitable. I mean, a big money maker, but he gets paid a lot, and his movies make a lot.
And not
so
Tom
Hanks? You have to think about in terms of your best value. Best dollar for dollar value for celebrities.
Paid the
makers.
Least, movies do the best.
You got me.
Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn is the number one best bet in Hollywood.
Really?
For every dollar you pay him, you get $14.73 back if you're a movie studio.
Huh.
And that's recent hits like The Breakup and Old School and movies like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So he's your best bet. Thought that was pretty cool how they broke that down.
Yeah. A lot of actors not happy to see that poll in the paper this morning.
Crap, no, they're not going to pay me as much as they used to. They say the $20 million club is shrinking rapidly. Studios are becoming less and less willing to pay that kind of money for stars because there is no guarantee now. You can put a Tom Cruise or a Nicole Kidman in a movie who seem like big movie stars, but there's no guarantee people are going to show up to see the movies.
It's a hell of a gamble.
Sure is. You know, I love the collectibles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
You know I'm a collector.
Yes, you are.
I want to thank everyone, by the way, who responded with my plea to get me the 1966 Batgirl Batcycle from the Comic-Con this weekend. I'm covered there. I got that covered. Thanks so much. I appreciate your offers, but I'm good now.
It's nice.
However, Profiles in History is having the Ultimate Superhero Auction July 31st and August 1st. So I'm starting a new benefit. They're having the original Batman Bat Radio from the TV series going up for auction. So I need about $12,000, if you don't mind lending me $12,000. They expect it to go for about $12,000.
That's worth it.
I think so.
That's a good use of $12,000.
How would you like a screen-used, full-size, animatronic Velociraptor from Jurassic Park 3? How'd you like to have that in your living room?
Is it a living dinosaur?
Yeah, it's
alive.
A living dinosaur, Bean.
Well, then tell me how much. That would be worth it.
Keeping
it's
in the Columbus
mechanical.
Zoo.
You can operate it. It's battery, it's like a robot.
Screw that.
$80,000 if you'd like that.
Wow.
Would you like Marty McFly's hoverboard from Back to the Future? Remember
that'd be
cool. The wheelless skateboard he zoomed around on?
Does it work?
No, Kevin.
Then
it doesn't
work.
I guess around $50,000 that'll go for. Interested?
That's just a skate deck. That's all that is.
But it's painted and
for
cool.
$50,000.
And it was used in the movie.
Yeah, no.
How about Mel Gibson's kilt from Braveheart?
Oh, God, no.
Yes.
Lisa wants to make soup out of it.
Was he not wearing anything under it?
$40,000.
Ooh.
Wow.
The Holy Grail from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the actual cup of Christ.
Oh, wow.
That saved Sean Connery's life.
No.
$25,000. Here you go, Kevin. It's for you. Don Adams' gun from Maxwell Smart, from Get Smart.
I'm not really a collector of stuff.
Yours could be yours for just $12,000.
God, that's ridiculous.
Come on, you know you want it.
12 grand.
You want it. Mike, how about that Conan sword? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Conan the Barbarian sword.
Oh, there you go.
You got 30 grand?
No,
oh,
I don't.
Well, then you're not going to get that.
Is this a fairly recent phenomena, the crazy prices for stuff like this? I mean, in the 50 years ago when they made movies, no matter how big or popular or famous the movies were, didn't they just put the props back in a warehouse and they never paid any special attention to them?
Absolutely. Or they destroyed them or they painted them, repainted them, and used them for other movies and stuff. There's a famous story. I think it was MGM or Fox or one of the studios. Had like a garage sale. They just didn't have any more room to hold on to costumes anymore, so they had a garage sale and people were picking stuff up for like $30, $50.
Really?
But it was like the suit that Clark Gable wore in Gone with the Wind.
Oh my
I mean,
God.
People were picking stuff up for a couple bucks here and there. You could pick up this stuff, and now this stuff is worth tens of thousands of dollars. So,
that's crazy.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you answer my trivia question yet?
We do, as a matter of fact. We have Nick in Cyprus. Good morning.
Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
I don't think it's that Nick.
Oh. Nick?
Yeah, hello.
Who introduced Will Ferrell to John C. Reilly the first time, even before they worked on Talladega Nights?
Molly Shannon from SNL.
Molly Shannon introduced him, yeah.
Yeah.
Superstar. Can you make it tonight, dude?
Yeah, man.
Can we hear yeah one more time?
Yeah.
All right.
Congratulations. You're going to the K-Rock screening of Step Brothers tonight at the Arclight.
All right. Can I do a shout-out to Cerritos, LWS?
Nope. Can't do that. Hold on, we'll give you all the details.
He took it well.
He did. Okay.
Well, he already got it out.
I can't do that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bindi Irwin. Little Bindi the Jungle Girl. Daughter, of course, of Steve Irwin. 10 years old today. Anna Paquin turns 26.
Ooh, yeah.
Actress Kristen Chenoweth of Pushing Daisies is 38. Linda Carter turns 57 years old today. Director Gus Van Sant is 56. Kadeem Hardison.
Yeah.
That's for Psycho Mike. I know he loves
the
him.
Wayne, bitch.
From a different world. He's 43 years old today. Michael Richards from Seinfeld turns 59. Gallagher, the watermelon crushing comedian, turns 62.
Wow.
Yes. And actress singer Jennifer Lopez is 40 years old today. You know, I almost didn't get to her name on the list here because, look, I mean, look at Linda Carter, Michael. Going to play a brother like that.
Like, save us some time.
That's a big savings.
It's always room for J-Lo.
It's too late, man.
Wow, that's like...
we already peaked.
Yeah, that's like...
we know it is, but you can't say it.
It's like something premature.
right. Exactly.
It's like the first word being premature and the second word being something I probably shouldn't describe on the air, but I'm just saying.
Right.
I think I'm disappointed and my partner's disappointed. My partner being the listening audience. I think we're all just a little disappointed. So thanks a lot, Bean, for ruining our morning. I appreciate that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And our friend Simon Pegg joins us back in the studio from Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and more. Let me be the first to say, welcome back, fat boy. Welcome back.
It's nice to be back. Thanks, Bean. Bean says that because of last year's movie, Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Thanks for clearing that up,
which was very funny.
Which was very funny. Yeah, you thought I was just calling you fat. That's not the case at all.
I don't mind. I know myself.
Simon, you're kind of a big deal now.
Oh, am I?
I'm so dubious about all this, you know, everything has to be about big deals and I don't know. We're just trying to do good stuff and keep doing it, really. It gets all really precarious when everyone starts saying, hey, you're really making it. And you kind of, well, I was making it when I started, just not to so many people. But
I understand what you're saying because for you, and I'm sure a lot of people feel this way, the success is being happy with the work that you've done. And then everything else that kind of happens, you're just kind of out of your control and it's best probably not to focus on that aspect of it.
Absolutely. That's the sort of danger area, really. You just want to make sure what you do is good and people like it. And then everything else is a bonus or a curse.
Now, this is the first time I've ever seen this happen, which is that you did a show 8 years ago.
Yeah,
in 1999 called Spaced.
That's right.
And it was on BBC. No, it was on Channel 4.
It was on Channel 4 in the UK.
And it was only on here on BBC America?
BBC America showed it recently in a sort of slightly truncated form because they had to edit it for time and content.
But, oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
But now it's coming out on a DVD, so you can buy it now.
Oh, very cool.
But most of us haven't seen it.
Well,
so that's bizarre.
It's crazy. I know it's like it's 8 years since me and Jessica Hines, who wrote it with me, and Edgar Wright, who directed Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, since we all did that show. But I guess because Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz have had something of an impact here, there's been some demand to see where it all kind of started. And that's very much what this show is. It's where all those sort of ideas and that kind of comedy for us began. So, and it's coming out, and it's number two in Amazon. It's ridiculous.
It's
really weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's available now on DVD online or in stores. It isn't literally Shaun of the Dead. Didn't it literally come from an episode of Spaced?
There is an episode of Spaced where I'm sort of, I get sort of obsessed with a computer game and end up actually acting out. It's Resident Evil, the zombie computer game, mm-hmm. and I end up acting it out. And there's a scene when I'm shooting zombies in my living room with a shotgun. And, and when we finished doing that scene, Edgar and myself looked at each other and said, we have to do that more often. And so we made a movie.
Wow. Why was it called Spaced? Because it's a sitcom, a roommate sitcom, basically. What's the title mean?
Well, it's a multi-layered title, I like to think. It's about the spaces in between people, and it's about being a bit spaced. And it's also, you know, Tim, my character in it, is a bit of a sci-fi geek. He's a comic book artist, and
just a bit.
And so, it has the title has lots of different connotations. It seemed to cover everything that the show was about, really.
When I gotcha. First saw the information about this, I was impressed by the fact that Kevin Smith was one of the people that was saying it's a great show.
Yes.
And I think he's on the DVD, right?
He does a commentary, yeah.
Quentin Tarantino, Matt Stone, Patton Oswalt, a bunch of the people that I like were saying, hey, and I've never heard of this show. I mean, I don't mean that as an insult.
No, why would you? I mean, it's it was a show that was on only in the UK, and only people that have sort of actively gone back into our back catalogue know about it. And, those guys... being the kind of people they are, did, and were very kind to sort of get behind us. It means a lot because, coming to the States as a show that not many people know, to have those kind of, testimonials is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you watch it now, Simon, and enjoy it, or are you critical of 8 years have gone past and you feel like you would have done something differently with that material if you were doing it today?
So now I'm critical of what 8 years have done to my face. More than anything. I watch it and think, oh, I had hair and was handsome.
Remember those days?
I was so young. Good so good looking.
Good times. No, I'm very proud of it. I look back at it now and think, I just wonder how the hell we got it done, really. We were kind of kids. We were in our mid-20s and we just got given this show. We didn't do a pilot. It was all, I think it was at a time when the network really needed something new, so they just said yes, yes, yes every turn.
No kidding.
And we just got it in under the wire. It's pretty subversive. There's it's strong language at times and talk of nefarious activities. But,
sure.
It's kind of, it's part of what it is.
From time to time, I've been lucky enough to travel to Britain as a visitor on vacation.
Good man, Dean.
Country of my birth, by the way, also, Simon. But, occasionally, I'll see boobies on the TV, which always impresses me a great deal. I'm a very big fan of boobies and a very big fan of television. So together, you can imagine, it's magical for me. Anything like that in Spaced?
No boobies. You see my ass at one point, which is...
Well,
I don't think you were asking about you.
Which is fairly... And there is a scene when I have my top off, and I could possibly qualify as having boobs. Do you look at British TV as that sort of slightly risky sort of European weirdness? Is that... Because when we see, TV from like Italy or France from the UK, we think, oh man, they're really kind of, it's all about sex.
Occasionally I do.
Yeah, they have like porn in the middle of the day in Italy.
That's right. It's like a lunchtime thing.
It's really crazy.
What amazes me more whenever I travel to Britain is the shows that you can't believe are on for a mass audience, like a gardening show at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night. There'll be this old British woman who will be out showing you how to garden for hour. It's really remarkable some of the stuff that sticks over there.
Well, now, obviously, cable is now is very it's taken over there now. So we have hundreds and hundreds of channels. It's not just the old, like up until about 1990 something. We had four channels.
I know that's absurd. That's unheard of. Four channels
until 1990, I think it was, and then the whole digital thing came in. And yeah, there would be on a Sunday evening. The only thing you could watch at 7 o'clock was a show about antiques. And
that was your option.
I kind of missed that.
No, you don't.
The proliferation of choice means that you just flip because there's always something better. If you
That's
had
true.
Antiques, religion, a dog, and some food, make a choice.
And you'd stick to it. Easier choices. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of talking head shows, too. And I don't mean shows that the talking heads were on. I mean actual shows that are just guys in suits sitting around talking. I mean, a ton of those kinds of shows.
We
I guess
get that
they were
from you.
Cheap.
That's that kind of VH1 thing with the, you know, I love 10 minutes ago.
Sure.
And, you know.
10 minutes ago is an awesome idea for a show, Simon.
It's getting there. We're nearly there now. As soon as nostalgia shows catch up with the present, that's when the apocalypse will come.
You think?
Imagine, they would have a camera on you right now, and you'd be going, well, I arrived at K-Rock about 8:05, and I got some coffee, and then I walked into the studio. It was amazing.
A clip of me coming in and looking at you.
All right, we need to take a break. Simon Pegg is here. He's got a new DVD out from a show that he did 8 years ago, which is very funny, called Spaced, the complete series, and... Poor Simon Pegg, he's in the studio with us, and we found out that he did a movie with Megan Fox, and we've done nothing but pepper him with questions about Megan Fox.
It's ridiculous.
His stupid Star Trek movie, I'll tell you that, now that I know about Megan Fox.
Everybody wants to know about Megan.
Yeah.
Well, she's ridiculously hot. It's not even fair.
She's absolutely lovely. I tell you one thing as well, she's a really good actress, and I think that it's almost, people kind of... she did a big scene in the film we just did, big emotional scene, and when they called cut, all the camera guys were like, wow, because they kind of expected her just to be
just hot,
the aesthetic icon that she is, but she's actually...
I didn't even know she was an actress. I just know how hot she is. I didn't even realize she had a job or anything, so that's interesting. Simon Pegg is here. We're talking about, among other things, Spaced, the complete series, if you're just joining us. It was a big hit on Channel 4 in Britain, aired here in the BBC America, and now that he's a big international movie star, they're capitalizing on his fame from Shaun of the Dead and other movies, and they've released it on DVD, and it's available everywhere, and it's a big, big seller, and you ought to see it. That's what we're saying.
That's the basic gist of it, isn't it, Bean?
Let's talk about the Star Trek, and I know your friend J.J. Abrams will not allow you to say much, but tell me about being Scotty. First of all, tell me about the process of being Scotty. I mean, was it an audition deal, or did this call an offer to you, or what?
No, J.J. just, as he did with Mission Impossible as well, he just called me. He emailed me. I got an email from J.J. that just said, would you like to be Scotty? Question mark.
And
I looked at it and I showed my wife, and then I looked at it again, and then I showed my wife again, and then we burst out laughing, and then I looked at it again, and then... I don't know. I didn't know what to do with it. You know, it was kind of like, of course I do.
Right.
I'm
going to
think about it. I can't. But it was amazing. And I got in touch with, James Doohan's son, Chris, got in touch with me, which I wanted to get in touch with him anyway, because obviously James has passed away, and I wanted to sort of at least have some connection with his legacy. So Chris got in contact, and we had a little chat and stuff, and I told him that I wanted to make sure that I wasn't in any way sort of trying to parody what James did with the character, because, you know, that would just be a completely stupid thing to do.
But I don't know how to do that project that is so strongly, you know, associated with other actors, and that seems like that would be really hard.
Well, I think everybody had to just take it from the ground up and go back to what all the original guys did with it, and look at the characters, see who they were, and play them as that. Not to go out there doing... I mean, Zach Quinto, who does Spock, is phenomenally like... I mean,
I've seen the pictures, and he looks just like him. Yeah,
just when you're on set at the corner of your eye, you'd think it was Leonard. It was really weird. And Chris, who's Kirk, has just got that fantastic sort of swagger, you know, that Shatner had, and I think it's going to be great. I'm so excited about it.
Did you have to deliver the line, Captain? That's all I can give you.
I can't tell you what I had to do. Honestly, there was one single line. Paramount put a small bomb in my head.
Is that right?
At the beginning of the year, very much like Escape from New York.
Yeah.
And if I say anything too much, they will detonate.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Was Star Trek a big TV hit in England for you growing up? Is that something you were real familiar with?
Huge. It was. Really? I remember it used to be on BBC Two at 6 o'clock every night. And what was weird for me about doing Star Trek was it's known that Leonard Nimoy is in the film,
right?
Mm-hmm. And to be acting, had to have him on set to be near a character that I'd known since I was a child, not just the actor but the character. And I rarely saw him out of his ears, you know, because he used to get into makeup first. It was phenomenal, and he was such a gentle, sort of brilliant guy. He must be in his 80s.
And what role does he play now?
Well, obviously there's some conjecture out there, and it's probably true. I don't know.
Wow. They really do. You really do have that bomb thing.
Now, here's the important Star Trek question, and maybe you can't answer this, but why isn't Megan Fox in it? I mean, it just seems like if they're making a movie, and she's an actress, I'm now finding out this morning, that they ought to put two and two together, right?
I think Megan would look even more beautiful painted green.
Absolutely.
No problem with that. And by the way, I don't know her name, but the young actress that you got playing her in that movie is not all bad either, let me just say.
Zoe Saldana, she was amazing. And yeah, she really pulled a horror off the page into 3D beauty.
I've never received an email that said, do you want to be Scotty?
I've never gotten an email that was even any close to that. That one's pretty rare, I guess. I hope you printed that out and put it in a little frame or a book or something.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere. It was a daunting thing to come on because the whole cast, the whole crew were just so good. And, you know, John Cho as Sulu and Anton Yelchin as Chekhov.
Oh, that's right. You know, both good actors.
So solid, yeah.
And J.J. Abrams, you know, we love.
And J.J. pretty much everything he does. I mean, he's such a ball of energy. It feels so safe in his hands because he cares so much about it. You know, he's absolutely dedicated.
Did you meet him on Mission Impossible 3 or was it before that?
He phoned me in my office just before Mission Impossible 3 and said that he'd seen Shaun of the Dead and just said, do you want to come and be in Mission Impossible 3?
What the hell?
I was like, what? So, who is this? How did you get my number?
You have the strangest life.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was kind of weird. And then I did, and it was fun. And I don't have praise high enough for JJ. He's just brilliant.
You must be constantly surprised by what goes on day to day in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, your goal is I want to be a working actor, I assume. That's the goal. And then everything else that happens, it just gets so crazy and out of control. You must have to pinch yourself with some of the stuff that's happening, Simon.
Well, I think above all else, I'm a bit of a geek, you know, I'm like a sort of fanboy. And so to actually be working in that universe as well, and also ticking off these movies like Star Trek and Mission Impossible, what have you, and being in a zombie movie and other things as well, and getting to meet and work with people that I've admired from afar for all my life it's never not surprising.
Does this mean that you won't be getting the band God's Third Leg back together? Does it mean that those days are done?
Is that on my...
What? Yes. It's on your information. Previously drummed for the band God's Third Leg.
Yeah.
That's a great band.
We're getting the band back together.
What are the other guys in the band doing now?
We split in 86.
Wow.
I don't know. I've not seen them since I was a teenager.
That's the way you are. Well, that's good. How you roll.
Yeah, were you guys good?
No.
Can we find your music anywhere?
We had one song. And it didn't even get on cassette, let alone on vinyl. We played it in the music room at college.
Sorry to hear that God's Third Leg days are behind
you. God's Third Leg and the Black Candles, the full title.
Well, Simon Pegg, it's always great to catch up with. Funny guy, terrific actor. Space the Complete series is out on DVD now. And, if you're hanging out with Megan or something, you guys feel like giving us a call. We'd love to say hi.
I might see her. She's at Comic-Con. I'm going to go down today, so we'll probably hang out.
Yeah.
That's what he's got going on this weekend, Kevin.
I felt like such an ass saying that.
Do you need an assistant or anything like that?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for coming in, Simon. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
A little behind the scenes now. Bean has Asperger's and does not like people and does not surround himself with people. He is isolating himself more and more.
Yes.
And yet, and is unavailable emotionally, really, to anyone.
We've actually noticed, too, that there are some friends that Beans had forever, but they were friends he developed before 1980-something. There's a year.
Right.
And then nobody since then has really become a good friend.
No connection.
No.
None whatsoever. Not even possible.
He won't let it happen.
Until Dave the King of Mexico.
Yeah. You guys know I can hear you, right?
And somehow... are you there?
Right here, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
And somehow Dave the King of Mexico is the only human being on this planet that has been able to... pierce the... Sorry, I just spit on you.
Yeah, all the way over here.
Wow. Going for distance.
Oh. That's what she said. That was able to pierce his...
to penetrate his fortress?
Yeah, I don't know how he's done it, but Dave has become a friend. Like, has actually gone to Bean's house and spent the night...
Yeah,
Dave
twice.
Is welcome anytime he cares to visit. There's an open door policy for the king.
Thank
if he
you,
wants
Bean.
To come visit, he's welcome to.
Now, is that true for any of the rest of us?
No.
No. Okay.
That's what we...
That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
That's how rad I am that he even penetrates Bean.
But here's the thing about Dave, and maybe you're lucky enough to know people like this. Dave is super easy to get along with. That's
right.
The thing. You never get into a fight with Dave. There's never friction with Dave. Almost anybody else you spend any amount of time with, there's going to be some trouble. Somebody's going
to... Are you referring to me specifically?
No. I mean, okay. Anybody in general. There's, you know, there are people who have strong personalities or whatever. Or they have their own way of doing things, their own opinions, or they like something. They don't like other stuff. And particularly with this group, I will say this, that the rest of the people who work at K-Rock are... hypercritical of everything that I do in my life, everything that I think, everything that I like, everything that I say, everything that I do.
But
Dave
you demand
is not
it.
Like that.
You demand
Dave is
it.
Not,
and he's like that, too, by the way.
You force us to do it.
But Dave is not judgmental like that. Dave is just whatever you want to do is fine, and I just roll with the flow kind of guy. That's what I love about Dave.
I'm cool like that, dude.
Dave is cool like that. That is a good way to put it.
What you're saying is you can put Dave in a corner on the couch and just leave him there for 5 hours and come back and he's fine.
And I'll be happy.
And happy.
Yeah.
Another thing about Dave is super low maintenance. He's not one of these guys who comes to town that you've got to break your back trying to keep entertained every minute. Dave is like, if you want to do something, he's up for it. But if you don't, he's totally cool to do whatever he wants to do.
How many times have you been up to the fortress?
Twice.
Twice. That's a lot.
For multiple days each time, by the way. He didn't fly in for dinner. I mean, he came and stayed for a long weekend both times.
Stayed at the house?
Yeah.
He didn't put you in the barn?
Both houses, by the way.
Yeah, stayed at the house. Yeah. And we just hung.
Are you doing it with Donna?
Unfortunately not, no.
Yeah, all right. I'm just checking because she loves him more than Bean does.
Donna loves Dave. Oh, my God, does she love Dave. You know, we have some of Dave's artwork in a frame in our living room.
Well, that's what brought this up.
Dave,
who I guess drew this picture when he was a kid.
Yeah, I was in the fourth grade, I think.
Fourth grade. Yeah. Somehow Bean got a hold of that picture, found out that he had it, got a hold of it, framed it, and put it on his wall.
Yes, proudly.
It's one of our most cherished pieces of art. And by the way, I think I put it on the blog. Did I put it on the blog at some point, Dave? And I said, up and coming young artist, I'm collecting him now before he's too expensive for me. And all these people were writing and going, who's that guy who painted that picture? I got to get me some of that. And I'm like, it was Dave when he was like 7.
How did you even find out that piece of that painting existed?
It happened after the first trip. I was like, man, that's a lot of artwork you have at your house, you know? And I go, well, I did some artwork too. I should send it to you. And he said, sure. And I did.
And he put it up.
And he put it up.
Dave was very talented for a young artist. He really was. I mean, you'd be impressed. I couldn't paint that well today. You'd be pretty impressed if you saw it, I think.
This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I don't want to discourage this at all. As a matter of fact, I have a song for you too, Lovebirds.
Wow.
One's name is Bean and the other's just a beaner. A pair of pigtails, an uncircumcised wiener. These are two guys that are gayer than anyone else.
That's true.
One lives on an island and the other in a bunker. One plays the cave while the other's the spelunker. I can't imagine two dudes gayer than these two dudes.
Why has it got to be a gay thing?
Gossip Girl is my favorite show.
Wait.
The dollar's so low. I can't imagine anyone falling for anyone else. I'm going to get some gloves and cut off the fingers.
I think Barry Manilow's my favorite singer.
I can't imagine anyone loving Butt more than we do.
That's true.
They love Butt.
Kristen Bell, Betty White,
pandas,
toast,
wolves,
mariners,
sweaters,
Zac Efron,
Paramore,
Clay Aiken,
Bean and Dave are gay.
That's true.
Two men hiding their secret desires. They would get married, but Dave is too tired. I can't imagine two men gayer than these two dudes. Gay.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. I don't know why it can't just be a bromance. Why does it have to be a gay thing?
It's a tribute to your love. And now in the state of California, you can embrace it.
Yes.
That's all we're saying.
Not until it's legal in Washington, too.
Beautiful. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Let's be especially kind to Mr. Chris Carter when he comes in next.
Okay.
Because apparently he was celebrating the premiere last night of The X-Files, I Want to Believe.
Right.
And he was at the after party. He didn't get a chance to eat a lot. Had a few cocktails, and I think maybe he might be a little worse for wear this morning. But he's a trooper, and he made it in. God bless him.
Play a little more Jack Johnson, a little less Rage Against the Machine while he's in with
the
headphones on.
That might be the way to go, yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah. All right, System of a Down, coming up next.
No, that will not fare him well.
Well, oh well.
Speaking of last night, I got to tell you guys, I think we need to add a new 10 to our list.
A new 10?
Because I was on the red carpet last night interviewing the folks,
mm-hmm.
and I got a chance to talk to Jillian and David Duchovny and Chris and Frank Spotness, the writer, and Mark Snow, who did the score, the music,
right,
that
yeah.
theme, you know. I called him sinister. I don't think he appreciated that. I said, your music's sinister, and it makes me worry about you personally. I think there's something wrong with you. But Amanda Peet's in the film.
Oh. Yeah.
And she is just so lithe and willowy and just so slender
Use
and tall.
Use words that I know.
She's tall and,
okay.
and thin
yes.
and willowy. You got willowy?
No.
Oh. And then she's got this smile, which is about 4,000 megawatts that just comes
yes.
streaming out. She looks like just a big candle.
Yeah.
Just luminescent.
She's,
and I want to dip my wick. You know what I'm
is that right?
She's probably maybe best known for Whole Nine Yards movies, would you think?
Yeah, but then she did Studio 60.
Studio 60, she was a regular cast member on, yeah.
But she's so sweet and so beautiful, but yet so talented. She's so good in this movie.
All right.
I do love her so.
So I think we need to put her on the list.
New, all right, she's
new
on
crushes.
The list.
New crushes. She on
nice,
the list?
Lisa.
Yeah.
She's on the list.
Lisa.
She's on
thanks,
the list.
Thanks for getting her on the list. Natalie Portman, speaking of luminescent.
Yes.
She's got a new boyfriend, a singer, naturally. Why do all the
oh,
hot
yeah.
chicks go for the musicians?
I don't know, but they do.
They
never
don't
go
like
for
the
DJs.
Actors, really.
They just go for the musicians. Actresses
that's
like a, musicians.
And hippie
actors,
dude, right?
Actors like models.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
seems
right.
to be the way they pair off.
That's true.
He is a hippie dude. His name is Devendra Banhart.
Yep,
okay.
That's him.
Devendra. Come on.
He
seriously.
Looks homeless, too.
Yeah, he looks. He's got a beard. Which usually you have to go into an Orthodox synagogue to find. I mean, it's just, he is rocking a serious beard. And he's not right for her.
I think he's a homosexual.
No, he's not.
He
Even
doesn't,
though his name's Devendra.
He doesn't seem to use a lot of water on his body either.
Would you say in combination with soap in any way?
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's a good way to phrase it, I think.
Yeah. She is in his upcoming video, and friends are saying they're getting quite serious. Friends are guessing the two will be engaged very soon, so...
Oh, wow.
We got that to look forward to.
This is bad.
Speaking of relationships, Cameron Diaz apparently wants to know what the future holds for her, and Us Weekly says that she regularly visits a psychic known as Mrs. Grace.
Yes!
Mrs. Grace, by the way, sounds like a bad Robin Williams film.
Hello! I'm Mrs. Grace!
Well, anyway, she saw Mrs. Grace, and regarding her new relationship with boyfriend Paul Sculfer...
Yes.
Mrs. Grace said, you can look forward to marriage, kids, and a beautiful future together.
What a surprise.
Wow.
The psychic said that?
She's really going out on a limb, telling a client that she's going to have a happy future. And then as soon as they break up, she'll say, but I have a sense that he wasn't right for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'll be $500, please.
Hasn't she had a lot of long-term, high-profile romances, including engagements, and it's never come to marriage and kids?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Matthew McConaughey is going to be an interesting father.
Oh. Yes, he is.
He's sort of a different kind of dude. Whether it's good or bad, you have to say he is unique.
He is unique, that's true.
Apparently, he's an interesting birthing coach as well. He was the birthing coach for his girlfriend, Camilla Alves, during her labor. And to help her pass the time, he was spinning music for her for 14 hours. On the turntable.
He was working the ones and twos?
He was.
Really?
He was working the wheels of steel for 14 hours straight.
DJ Omar Khan.
He said he thought Brazilian music would be the best choice, and so there was some native...
14 hours of that?
Native beats per minute there going for Camilla while they're waiting for little Levi to arrive, so...
Can you
imagine her? Would you please stop that with the Brazilian music?
Leave those alone and come over here with me.
I am trying to push a watermelon through my nostril.
That's how they have babies?
Yes, Kevin, that's how they have babies. And Jerry O'Connell. We got to have Jerry O'Connell in. I think he's got a new project coming up this fall on television. He just seems like...
Carpoolers 2?
No, thank God. He just seems like a funny, good, all-around guy.
He does, yeah.
In a recent interview, they asked him, I guess it was E, asked him, what he does for charity, and he said he is going to rescue all the dogs and cats in Los Angeles, then he's going to London to save Amy Winehouse. So I think that
in
is
that
a,
order?
In that order. That is a very noble statement, and I think it's good for him to do. And Sienna Miller.
Yeah.
She's all right.
Who can give me another name for gonorrhea?
Oh, come on. She's got a new boyfriend, married actor Balthazar Getty.
Yeah.
Who, you know, has four kids with his wife.
Sure, well, there's that, and a wife, yeah.
But lately they've been together very publicly. She has been seen in various states of undress, making out with him on boats and hotel balconies. And the photos and stories have been run in major newspapers in the UK. And now Sienna Miller is suing two major British newspapers and a photo agency for publishing the shots of her cavorting with her married boyfriend up and down the Italian coast.
She was in public. Does she have a case, Ralph?
What's that? Sorry, Bean?
I was saying, do you think she has a case?
I don't know what the UK laws are about this stuff. They may have a different set of laws than they do here in the States. I don't think she'd have a case here, but UK law sometimes can be funny that way. But apparently,
giant size cans.
She is suing them for breach of privacy.
Breach of privacy?
She really, was in public.
Is it really privacy?
If you're out on your balcony.
If you're naked on the deck of a boat making out with people and people are standing around watching you, or you're on a balcony wearing nothing but a captain's hat. Maybe if you want to keep that private, you do that inside the hotel.
Yeah.
That's just me. What do I know?
She seems to refuse that she's a celebrity, so...
Last time I was naked in a captain's hat, I was partying with...
With?
Tennille.
That's a great reference. That is a great reference.
Davin McCloud.
That's an even better reference.
Davin McCloud. Captain Steubing from the Love Boat.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, so I made Mike look good right there.
Wow.
And no one took a picture of me, so I'm a little disappointed. Before I get to celebrity birthdays today, I would like to give away my final pair, two pairs of tickets for Step Brothers. We've got the special K-Rock screening tonight of the hilarious new comedy starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. If you'd like to see Step Brothers, be callers number 11 and 12 right now. 1-800-520-1067, callers 11 and 12. We'll get the final pair, two pairs of tickets to see Step Brothers tonight at the Arclight in Hollywood, which was a very,
Captain.
Very cool place to see a theater. Or a movie, for that matter.
Yeah.
You can just see look the at theater. The theater. You can drive past and see the
really
theater.
Nice.
But
even
if you
want to
see
inside.
A movie, you got to stop and get a seat. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Richards is 59 years old today, of course, from Seinfeld and from the NAACP Awards. Linda Carter is 57 years old today. Right. Wonder Woman. Kristen Chenoweth is 38. Anna Paquin's 26. Jennifer Lopez turns 40 years old today. Bindi Irwin, Bindi the Jungle Girl, is 10. And I also want to mention one more time, a good friend of the show who does a lot of our artwork is very talented. He did our cover for our Christmas album. He has done some t-shirt work for Kevin.
I don't. You're lying. It's
all
lies.
He's been very good to us, and he's always there when we need him. So we want to wish happy birthday to Paulie, hey! Our buddy Paulie.
I drive like an agent!
Slanted eyes, eating dog with slanted eyes.
I drive like an agent!
That's not appropriate at all. Paul, come on.
Words
Mike.
Hurt.
That's
Mike.
Ridiculous.
What are you thinking?
He's a dish.
I want to talk to you after the show, Mike. We have to have a conversation.
Son of a bitch.
You don't. You just don't get it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So that's the song that's going to help him.
Yeah, that might not be the best
nice
choice.
Ease into the morning.
Guy was partying a little bit too late last night.
Hey, Chris Carter.
Hey, how are you doing?
It seems like only yesterday that we had Chris Carter in a lot, and then he would come in, and we would ask him a lot of questions about the X-Files, and he wouldn't tell us anything.
Yeah.
Now he's back to not tell us anything.
same old.
Yeah. Chris, I will say it is great to see you again, first of all. It's been entirely too long. But
you,
we
Bean.
Have been having Chris as an infrequent guest on the Kevin and Bean Show, no lie, for 15 years.
That's true.
You've been coming on this show, which is amazing. And but it seems like it's been like 4 or 5 years since we last talked to you. What have you been up to?
I took some time off. Hollywood rehab.
Where'd you go? What'd you do?
I did a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have done if I just didn't stop and... And I went on surf trips. It was like that. I just stopped.
How about that? You went on surf trips?
I went on surf trips. I did some mountain climbing, a bunch of stuff.
Was it difficult to break all, just say, I'm going? Getting away.
It was actually the easiest thing in the world.
It was.
I didn't read the trades. I just sort of, I just took a complete break.
Nice.
You felt retired.
No, I didn't. I was playing as hard as I was working.
Really?
Believe me.
Not tired, retired.
Exactly.
When you're you know, surfing around the world like you do, like you've always done, every once in a while did something pop into your head that you thought, man, that would be a good TV show or that would be a good comic or whatever? Because you can't really turn your brain off from that kind of creativity that you've done your whole life.
No, I made lots of notes.
Oh.
Surfing aliens. I can see it now. Hang 42. Giant feet with lots of toes.
But there also has to be, after all of that with Millennium and with X-Files and everything, there has to be some kind of a, I came up with so many ideas in that amount of time. I'm sort of out. No?
It was just, you know, it felt like reality TV was sort of taking hold, and it was a good time to sort of step back and take a look at it. Now look at all the good TV on.
Yeah, now it's real good stuff. Yeah.
Speaking of good TV, I was thinking last night, and I didn't get a chance to ask you this on the red carpet, but when you see the success of shows like Heroes and Lost and all the popular shows that are on now, you guys sort of created that with the sense of making it respectable and cool and hip to have a sci-fi show on the air, which ordinarily up to that point was sort of marginalized as a genre. Right. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you have to feel pretty good about yourself that you've kind of established, you've reinvigorated a genre that had been dead for a long time.
That's
on
pretty
TV.
Much, we just reinvigorated. It's like, I think we just found it again. But it was out there. When I was a kid, it was on, you know, shows that I loved.
Sure.
Yeah.
When did you realize, or why did you realize it was time to come out of the forest and start talking to people again?
He was
surfing in the forest?
Fox said it was now or never, so we chose now.
Really? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, really. They called up and they said, there's a writer's strike looming, and if you don't do this movie now, it'll be two more years, and we think the audience will get tired of waiting.
No kidding. Wow.
What was your plan always to do another movie, Chris?
We had talked about it even when the show was ongoing, and we were excited about the first movie, and other people were too, so there was talk about it then, but we thought it would happen sooner. They actually came to us a year after the series ended and said, let's get going. But for reasons I won't bore you with here, that took 5 years.
Did you guys have a script in mind already well before the movie was made? Or did you decide to make the movie first and then Frank and you kind of got together and came up with the idea?
No, it's we actually had an idea like back in 2004. And we pitched that idea and Fox liked it. All the negotiations began and then there was a little thing called a lawsuit, and that got in the way.
That's all over now, right? It's all settled.
Yes,
those have a way of doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it difficult to get your stars back on board? Because a lot of times people want to leave a character behind. That doesn't seem to be the case this time, though.
No, actually, it was really David who wanted to make this movie, and powerful, his enthusiasm. And he was really – I'd credit him with making the X-Files movie happen.
Really?
The second one, yeah.
It's so frustrating having had seen the film but not wanting to ruin anything. And the plot is sort of a closely guarded secret. And you can't really talk about it in any specific way. But I got to tell you, if you're an X-Files fan, I was telling Chris this, I was excited to see the film just because I wanted to see it. But it's not until you're watching it you recognize what warm feelings you hold for these characters and these people. And it's almost as enjoyable to sort of be revisiting with these old friends as it is to watch what they did with the film, which is really top-notch, which is great.
Is it bad that I my memory is not exactly clear as to what was going on?
What? When you don't have all the details straight?
When we left the X-Files?
Yes.
I remember in the movie they were in snow, there was some kind of a like a beehive of pods of aliens, and I don't know how the show ended.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
That was 10 years ago.
I know. That's what I'm saying is it was 10 years ago. I don't know where we are.
You don't need to know. This movie, we recognize that it's been 6 years since it's off the air on TV, and it's been 10 years since the movie, so we wanted to make this, I'd say, easy access.
So self-contained, pretty
much. Yeah, it is a self-contained story.
One of them was a school teacher and the other one was a race car driver? am I remembering any of it right?
Wrong.
They had a dog named Fluffy or something?
The cool thing about the film is that 6 years has passed in their lives, too. So we pick up with them exactly where they would have been 6 years from the end of the series. So you don't feel like you're being sort of force-fed another episode tacked onto the end of the series.
If nothing happened in between?
Exactly. This takes place at a whole new point in both of their lives. And it's got all the elements that you want from the X-Files. It's got humor. It's got terrifying moments. It's got warm moments. The right mix of God and spirituality and science and supernatural. It's all there.
What happens?
I'm slipping Ralphie.
What happens?
20 right now.
No, it's the truth. I really loved it.
What happens?
Film.
How does it start? Where does it go? Tell us what
happens. Hey, Chris, let me ask you one
question. I'm asking a question.
He's rescuing Chris.
I demand
an answer.
Yeah, right.
What happens?
Back to you, B.
Let me ask you one question before the break. Chris Carter is here. X-Files, I Want to Believe, is the film that opens everywhere tomorrow. A lot has changed with this kind of movie in the last few years since the last one came out. Was it tougher to go back in and make an X-Files movie
in an age where we've now see The Dark Knight, we see Spider-Man 3 and Iron Man and all these other movies that have really raised the game of this kind of film.
It's not the same kind of film. This is really a smaller movie, and we went back to sort of, I'd say, the X-Files basics, telling you stories that are smart and a great caper where you don't see the things that scare you. It is not a, if you're going to see a
special effects heavy,
it is not a big special effects movie.
That's probably good because
it's
most
very refreshing. I was thinking that last night. This is a real thriller about people and acting and characters, and there's not a lot of pyrotechnics, which is kind of cool because this summer I've been beaten to death with them.
Yeah, you do. Know? Get-
So if we see a guy throwing a paper plate in the sky and that's your UFO, we should just be going like, yeah, old school, exactly. Right on.
That's what Chris is known for. All right, we need to take a break. The X-Files, I Want to Believe, is in theaters tomorrow, and we'll be right back.
We're not allowed to talk about the deal, are we?
Deal with no. Anything that involves a certain man, no. We cannot. Right. We can mention Beck, though, another K-Rock favorite. Congratulations to Brett Mobley from Mission Viejo. Just won tickets for the upcoming Beck show. That's how it works all this week on K-Rock. We're hooking you up with tickets to all the great summer shows, including Jack Johnson, Nine Inch Nails, Project Revolution, Radiohead, and more. Our guest in the studio is our old friend Chris Carter, the writer, co-writer, and creator of The X-Files. The new movie comes out tomorrow called The X-Files, I Want to Believe. Do you think back sometimes, Chris, to how crazy it got in the mid-90s when your show was so white hot, cover of Rolling Stone and all the stuff that was going on? Remember when it was a national obsession, The X-Files?
Yeah, all too well.
You know, I was thinking last night, Fox did a cool thing for the red carpet world premiere. They flew out hardcore X-Files fans from around the world.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And put them in bleachers right in front so they could see everything. And they had a little Q&A with Chris and Frank Spotnitz and Jillian and David. And as I looked up at the crowd and I watched them react to everything they were saying, I recognized the fact that there must have been an enormous amount of pressure on you not to F this all up. Because you have such hardcore fans who have invested so much of their lives in it. Every time you do something with this franchise, it must run through your mind that if I make a misstep here, it's going to be a major backlash.
That's one way to look at it.
Did you ever look like
to be negative
before right now?
Surprised, like, wow,
hey, wait a minute, he's right. I could have really screwed the pooch on this one.
You didn't get the feeling like people are going to be looking at this for the first time in a long time, it's and I need to really step up.
Of course, I mean you always you want to satisfy expectations for sure.
Is that possible?
You can't satisfy all expectations, so you just try to make it, you know, to do everything that we always have done with the X-Files, make it smart and scary.
Mm-hmm. Has there been a lot of fan support and continuation of X-Files fans through these last few years? I mean, do they continue to have conventions and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, the drumbeat is still very strong, and that's really the reason why we made the movie, is because they just kept telling us we want another movie. And I wasn't sure if it was 10 people with very loud voices out there
right.
saying it. But then we went to the comic book convention in San Francisco, WonderCon, in February. And there were 6,000 people there. And it was the weirdest thing because they were just screaming. It was like these people had all this pent-up energy. And they really wanted to see this movie. So I know there's an audience out there. I just hope, you know, it's going to be a big audience and that we get people besides the hardcore fans.
Or you hope it's a small audience that goes over and over and over and over. That's what you
mean. They don't even have to go as long as they just mail money to the studio. Right. All right. I know there's mostly you can't tell us anything about the movie. We've already established that even if you forgot everything you loved about The X-Files, still go see it because it picks up at a point where you can easily get reintroduced back to the story.
Or there's if you never were a part of it.
Or if you never watched it at all.
Younger or whatever, you can still.
I think the secret's out there now because last night there's a particular scene that's very important in the movie, and it comes as a big surprise to the fans. I saw those cell phones light up, and I saw people texting when that scene was on. So I have a feeling the cat's out of the bag.
Does this involve tongues touching?
No, not this particular scene we're talking about. No, there's no tongue touching in the scene.
Okay, all right. All right, we do have a clip from The X-Files, I Want to Believe. So Scully and Mulder are no longer with the FBI when the film starts. That's safe to say, right?
It is safe to say, yeah.
Okay, but somehow through your plot, you managed to bring them back together. What's this scene we're going to hear here?
That's a good question. I heard it's an argument, but there are lots of arguments.
I think Mulder is starting to get obsessed again with this particular situation. You know, he's sort of been out of it, and then he's getting drawn back in, and you can see him build momentum, and the light comes back into his eyes, and he starts to get obsessed again. And I think Scully thinks that's a potentially dangerous thing for him and for their friendship.
Mulder?
What?
Stop.
Okay, just feel free to give up like everybody else.
This is not my job anymore, Mulder.
No, that's right. That's right. You're just like my booking agent now, right?
You're right. This is my fault.
What do you mean it's your fault?
For getting you involved in this.
No. It was the right thing to do, Scully.
This is not about finding an FBI agent. This is about you trying to save your sister.
My sister is dead.
It hasn't stopped you from looking for her.
Oh,
his obsession continues. It's so great to watch them again. And Duchovny's performance in this, you see in the beginning, I'm not giving anything away. He's got a beard. He's sort of taken himself not only out of the FBI, but out of society. He lives the life of a hermit.
I wonder where Chris got that idea.
Yeah. The Unabomber.
He's doing a lot of surfing and a lot of rock climbing, and he doesn't talk to anybody.
Not taking any calls.
And you see he's sort of kind of like a shell of his former self. He's certainly not the Fox Mulder we knew for all those years. And as you see the story develop...
What part develops?
I'm not telling you. And as you see him get caught up and he starts to discover clues and he starts to put things together, you see him literally come back to life in front of your eyes. And it's remarkable. It really is.
Thank you.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's really great. Great, great film.
Sorry, yeah. Kevin. You're just going to have to go.
I'm just trying to figure out any kind. I'm going to.
Well,
but
then why
it's 9:31. I can't do
why
it right this second.
I'm just saying, what else can we know?
Chris, now that you are, I shouldn't assume. Are you back? Are you working again now after the X-Files? You're doing something else? And if so, what?
Happily, yes. I've got other projects in the
works. That you can't tell us about. That you're not going to tell us about.
It's the most secret of man ever.
Why don't you just do a show you can talk about for once?
Do you have projects in TV?
Not
movies?
Right now. No, in movies.
In movies. What movies?
Are there actors we know?
You will know.
Speaking of actors, Exhibit's in this new film, and he's great. He just plays an FBI
Exhibit.
Agent.
Really? X-Men? Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
What part does he play with the FBI? What does he do?
Oh, stop it.
He's trying to figure out what's going on.
All right, you're going to have to
wait a day,
Kevin.
I can tell you what's going on.
Tell me then!
When you saw the movie tomorrow, you would be completely caught by
surprise.
It would
be a surprise.
Because you have no memory.
The X-Files, I want to believe, has finally arrived. X-Files.com is the website. It's in theaters everywhere tomorrow. Chris Carter, it has been far too long since we had a chance to get nothing out of you, so please come back and see us again soon, won't
thanks,
you?
Bean. Thanks, Bean. Thanks, all you guys.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Hi, this is Chris Carter, the creator of the X-Files.
He's not high energy, but he's a cool guy.
I love Chris. Very excited to catch up with him again. I'm very much looking forward to the movie. Right now, though, your calls at 1-800-520-1067 on the air, and you get a prize. Today, it's a Robot Chicken Star Wars DVD. I bought mine yesterday, by the way, at the Best Buy for $9.99. I can't wait to see it. DVD is on sale now in stores and online everywhere.
All right, let's begin with Carlos in East L.A. Good morning, Carlos. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, Carlos? I just had a question to do. What do you guys think is what's going to happen to Brett Favre? Do you think he's going to go into a team? Do you think he's going to decide to retire? Or what's going to happen to him?
That's a great question. I think he's going to go to another team.
Can the Green Bay Packers keep him from going to another team? Can they legally stop him by paying him or whatever?
He can't come back to work in the NFL. Without going through the Packers organization.
Okay, so they could.
Because he retired with 2 years left on his contract. So if he wants to come back and play, he wants to come back and play and start for the Packers.
Right.
They told him that's not going to happen.
Right, but if he's a backup.
He won't come back to back up.
But he should, because the first pass that gets thrown poorly, he'll be right back in the game.
He wants to be a starter, so it's guaranteed. So the Packers have to, if they want to get rid of him, have to trade him. The thing is, to any possible team he gets traded to, if they make some deal, he may decide, well, no, I don't want to play for them, so I'm going to go back into retirement. So that the team that ends up getting him may not actually get him. But if he wants to start, I think the two best bets for the Packers is to make a deal with Tampa or with Atlanta. I think those are the
best. You know what you should do? You should just call a team and tell them, what, are you going to spoon me to death? And just take off entirely.
Yes.
That's coming back big today, isn't it?
Nicely done.
Yeah, I think Tampa's his best bet.
And that's out of the Packers division, so it doesn't hurt him like it would to go to Minnesota, which is what a lot of
He won't go to Chicago. He won't go to Minnesota.
Right, exactly. He screwed this up badly, though, didn't he?
Horribly. He is really taking his legacy at this point.
K-Rock Lister Vic made a fantastic point of something we never mentioned on the
air.
Different thing. Which is, for all the talk of the Madden football video game curse.
It's the curse!
They finally made the safe decision and put a retired dude on the cover. What can go wrong with that? It's Brett Favre. He's already perfect. Nothing can go wrong. Well, he screwed it up after he retired. That's how powerful the curse is. You don't even have to be in the league anymore to screw it up.
Curse is real, my brother.
Good point.
Sounds like it.
Vince in Pomona.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
I just wanted to, this goes out to Bean, that his Seattle Mariners are so hard up for fans right now that they decided to ban peanuts at some of their sections in the stadium so people allergic to peanuts can feel safe attending the games.
Oh, man.
Only okay. A couple of games in a couple of sections.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's people.
Apparently, if you even sit next to someone who's eating nuts.
And baseball.
And you have
it
that
is peanuts
allergy,
and baseball.
You can be affected.
Buy me some peanuts and crackers. It's right in the words of the national anthem.
It's
not the national
it's
anthem.
It's right
first
in
of
our
all.
American national anthem, those
peanuts
words.
Peanuts not included, apparently, in the words to the news song. The Mariners are just the latest team. There's a half a dozen other ballparks that also do that, where they have a peanut-free section for some games.
Could it be, because they figure, could it be they don't want people throwing peanuts at the Mariners
could
because
be.
They suck so much?
Yeah,
and
I'm not,
pelt
no. them I don't remember
them?
How they're doing this season. How are they doing?
They're in first place, upside down.
Yeah, so last place.
I like to eat peanuts with the shells on.
All I do.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Sabrina, who is calling from Inglewood. Good morning, Sabrina.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
So I went and saw The Dark Knight again yesterday. I guess there was some sort of organization or team or something there because there was no less than 15 people in head-to-toe Batman gear.
They were dressed up in full Batman. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
One guy had the Val Kilmer costume with the cod piece and everything. He
nice.
Let me knock on it. It sounded tinny.
Wow.
Sweet.
That's a whole extra step of fandom there, isn't it?
Yep.
I am so busting out my Adam West costume.
Dear God.
Awesome.
Rob, you are such a dork when it
popcorn
comes.
Popcorn in my utility belt.
Let's go to Steve, who is calling from Mission Viejo. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Steve?
Okay, so I need some advice. I went to Dark Knight yesterday for the second time, was sitting in the movie theater, and the guy in front of me talked from scene one to the very last scene. The entire movie was talking to the screen.
Wow.
At one point, I even told him, shut up.
Was he sitting next to somebody and talking, or just...
Okay, he was sitting next to a girl, but there was a space in between them because they were a little large.
Right.
So they couldn't sit directly next to each other.
Spill over in the center seat
sure.
there. And literally, she was kind of, she was even talking back to him and talking during the movie. I'm going, do I need to kick this guy in the back of the head to shut him up? I'm trying to get into this movie.
I think the answer to that is yes.
Okay.
What was his response when you told him to shut up?
He just laughed at me and he just kind of went, oh, I'm going to keep talking. I'm going,
oh, no.
Are you serious? Like,
yeah, that's rough.
If I kick you in the back of the head, the problem is that I'm then going to get into a fight, which, you know, kind of makes it bad for the people who are in the very back row who can't hear this.
Was it jam packed?
No, it was probably about a quarter full.
I think I would have just got up and moved.
Yeah, why didn't you move, Steve?
Well, the movie was just too... I love this movie so much that I didn't really feel like wasting my time to get up and move.
That is a long...
You can
take a long, long time.
Walk, I found.
He was sitting in front of you?
Yeah, he was sitting literally the seat right...
All right, next time, take off your shoelace quietly and choke him with it. And as you're choking him from behind, because there's nothing you can do, he'll be catching by surprise. You say, are you going to keep talking? Are you going to keep talking and keep choking him until he says no?
I'm not sure that's the best plan.
Choke him.
Hey, you know my answer to this. I carry a small size Freon air horn in my pocket. I'm not kidding. This always works.
Really?
And while they're talking, you sneak up behind him and you put the air horn right next to their ear and you go, and I guarantee you they don't talk or hear anything for the rest of the movie.
All right, you got a couple of different suggestions to try. Let's squeeze in one more. We'll close with Steve in Fullerton. Hi, Steve, from Line 3. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, Ned?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys about Bean and Dave was the funniest thing I've ever heard you guys
Bean and Dave's Bean and Dave's love song?
Yeah, that was just hilarious. I need to know where I can get that.
Our buddy Ashton song. Kutcher put that together.
Hey,
I think
he does
if good you go on YouTube under Ashton Kutcher, I think you'd be able to sing.
Come on.
He writes good songs and he sings them well.
He's so good to us.
He records all the musicians'
part,
too.
Out of his day to record that and send it over.
That's a celebrity to... God,
that's right.
Do we have time to play it
we
again,
do,
maybe, for Steven and for others who didn't
hear?
Okay. All right, we'll
please.
Hook you up. This is the theme, apparently. I just heard it this morning for the first time myself. This is dedicated to the bromance, apparently, between the King of Mexico and me, Bean.
Sing it if you know it.
One's name is Bean and the other's just a beaner. A pair of pigtails and uncircumcised wiener. These are two guys that are gayer than anyone else. They're gay. One lives on an island and the other in a bunker. One plays the cave while the other's the spelunker. I can't imagine two dudes gayer than these two dudes.
Oh, Gossip Girl is my favorite show.
Wait.
The dollar's so low. I can't imagine anyone falling for anyone else.
But I'm going to get some gloves and cut off the fingers.
I think
Barry Manilow's my favorite singer. I can't imagine anyone loving butt more than we do.
That's true.
They love Bart.
Kristen Bell.
Betty White.
Pandas.
Toast.
Wolves.
Mariners.
Sweaters.
Zac Efron.
Paramore.
Clay Aiken.
Bean and Dave are gay.
Two men hiding their secret desires. They would get married, but Dave is too tired. I can't imagine two men gayer than these two dudes. Gay.
Very nice. We will we'll post that on krock.com a little bit later on today when Dave gets around to it. Takes him a while. He's tired.
Oh, I got
He's busy texting me. That's why.
I've got a podcast from Christmas I still have to get out.
I want to thank our special guests on this morning's Kevin DeBean Show, including the actor Simon Pegg. How awesome is that dude?
Great. He's fantastic.
Very funny. Very funny.
Why is Ralph Goodwin clapping?
Come on, everybody. Roll with him on that. His hit British series, Spaced, the complete series, out and available now on DVD. Apparently very, very funny. And thanks to the always dynamic Chris Carter. Great to catch up with him again. The X-Files, I Want to Believe, is the film in theaters finally. And that'll be tomorrow. X-Files.com is the site.
Just tell him, Ralph, it's been a long time since there's been a weekend where there are two movies that I have to see. Most of the time, you're lucky if there's one movie that you have to see.
Although this summer, it seems like there's one movie every weekend.
Yeah, but rarely two.
Yeah.
Step Brothers and the X-Files. But that's why it's so shocking that Kevin still makes time for Love Guru. I mean, with all the choices out there.
Tomorrow on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we got the Movie Beat. Ralph will tell you about all of the above. He has seen them this time. That's really kind of going against your policy.
I know. I got to cut that out.
Dave Duchovny will be on the program.
Oh, great.
Talking about the X-Files. Joe Rogan will be here.
Ah!
What is that? Joe Rogan will be here, and Psycho Mike was... How do we want to tease the on-the-street stuff? Do we want to?
I don't know. I don't know how you...
Well, I'll tell you how you do it. We were curious. We've got the K-Rock microphones from time to time that go out into the neighborhoods where we broadcast, and we were wondering if there's any support in South Central for Senator Obama. We just thought, I wonder if anyone out there is going to be voting for the senator. And we set the microphones down there to find out. And that's what we'll present for you tomorrow morning on the show.
Just set the microphones down and ran? just turn on the recorder.
Talk into that if you care.
I gotta go.
Put a slide on it that says, what do you think of the brother?
Plus, Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men will be on.
Oh, yes.
That's coming back. So
she,
that's tomorrow.
She was pregnant last time we saw her when Mad Men Season 1 ended, right?
Yes, they thought she was just putting on weight, but it turns out she got knocked up by her boss.
Oh, good.
And that was just when she was starting to make some headway in the company. She was actually starting to become a creative writer on for the advertising company over than just being a receptionist. So I don't know if this is going to curb her career or not.
I watched the first half of this show, and I haven't really seen much of it.
You got to get back on board when it comes back this weekend. It's really good. Yeah. Really good. Cat Corbett's up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for One Day as a Lion? The new Zach De La Roca project. Also, Pennywise, Coldplay, Foo Fighters, and more right after.